why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
You an embarrassment on the dance floor? Do you confuse state capitals and read too many celebrity gossip magazines? Well, if you answered yes, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you think an MP3 is a computer virus, it's okay. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
dignity. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have a lot to talk about. I'm so proud of y'all, I just don't know what to do. Over 1,200 people showed up last night. Do you hear me? Lord, we had less than a week to be prepared to get down to Harris Stowe. They gave us a week's notice. 1,200 people showed up. Over 1,200 people showed up. Lord, what would have happened if we would have had 2 weeks? I am so proud of y'all, and we're going to talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour, St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. Oh, yeah, we got some stuff to talk about. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have Code Pink on. They're going to be talking about, you know what? What is your position on Iraq, Hillary? What is your position? We're going to be talking about that. You don't want to miss what we like to call Riveting Radio. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Say my name. Oh my goodness, we have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Huh. We hear all this talk about the Iraq war. Yeah, we do. We hear all this talk about the Iraq war. And we hear all this talk from the citizens about the Iraq war. We hear all this talk from our legislators about the Iraq war. The citizens are clear in their position on the Iraq war. We have the proof of that in the election results. So if overwhelming majority of Americans are opposed to this war in Iraq, then why do our legislators keep funding it? Why do our legislators keep funding it? Democrats, especially Senate Democrats, say that they oppose the war. Why don't they, if they oppose the war, why don't they stop funding it? There is one United States senator who is going to challenge what he calls the timidity of Democratic leaders. He's going to introduce legislation cutting off funding for the Iraq war, and he may do it as early as this week. Are you kidding? There is an elected official. There is a Democrat. There is a United States senator that is going to vote to cut off funding for the war. Lord. When Senator Russ Feingold was asked whether Democratic voters were further to the left than their elected officials, especially their presidential candidates when it came to the war, he says that that's not only true of Democrats, it's true of the public as whole. The mainstream view of the American people is to get out of Iraq. The Democrats have every reason to be afraid, they say. The White House plays hardball. They're never afraid, the White House isn't, of accusing those that oppose the policies of the White House, or oppose the policies of Iraq, of being bashers of our troops and enablers of our enemies. What did Hillary have to say? At this point, I'm not ready to cut off funding for American troops. I'm not going to do that. And then she gave the other piece of a fatalistic view. Even if we did pass the resolution, it would be pointless because we have a president that will veto anything that impinges on his authority. Now, and that's why I'm so glad we're having Code Pink on today, because Code Pink went to Hillary back in the beginning of this war and wanted to have a discussion with her about this war. And Code Pink today at 8 o'clock is going to tell you what Hillary said then. And they're going to tell you what happened on Tuesday when they went up to talk to Hillary about the same issue. Let's dissect that position of Hillary Clinton just for a second. Even if Congress passed a bill to cut off funding, it would be pointless because we have a president that will veto anything that impinges on his authority. What difference does that make? Shouldn't you be taking the position that you're going to say no? Shouldn't you just be taking the position that you're no to this war? I don't care if George Bush vetoes it in his sleep. The fact of the matter is you need to say no. For instance, and there are a number of things the Democrats can do. If they attach the Iraq funding, or the Iraq funding cutoff, to an appropriations bill, Bush would risk shutting down the government to veto it. I dare you. What did we say when we were kids? I double dog dare you. Double dog dare you. Huh. And Joseph Biden, another guy who wants to be president just like Hillary. Another guy that wants to be president just like Hillary. Says a funding cutoff is probably unconstitutional. Chicken. No. I won't even say you're a chicken. You're a calculating politician who wants to be elected president. And you don't have what you need. You don't have what you need to be president. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes.
Yes.
How you doing? Good morning.
I'm outstanding. How are you?
All right. I hate to sound like a broken record, Liz, but I've always called in and tell you that I believe this whole Congress, this whole government is under siege. And what I mean, they got some on every last one of them clowns. And they scared to open their mouth. They scared to challenge George Bush because they got so many skeletons in their closet. Even the skeletons complaining about ain't enough room. They got some of them people, man. And them senators who lie to the American people, tell them what they're going to do on one side of their mouth and do just the opposite on the other. They doing the J. Edgar Hoover on every last one of them clowns. Maybe not all of them. But enough of them to let that clown George Bush be a dictator in America. And they going to stay on that train until they run into the ground. And they can continue to lie to the American people about what they going to do. And that's the way it is. They got something on them. They got something on them people, every last one of them congressmen, most of them. And they scared to open their mouth. They scared to challenge George Bush. And they'll be that way until it ends. Thank you for listening to me.
All right, Jerry. Thank you for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. If you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. Feingold is going to hold a hearing on this very issue. He's gathered various legal and other experts to testify. He says, I'm going to lay out the reality that Congress does have this power. The president does not have unilateral power to continue the war without our consent. A cutoff of funding 6 months after the law is enacted makes sense. It is constitutional, and our troops will not be left in the lurch. Under Feingold's plan, the administration would have to safely redeploy troops from Iraq, except for those needed to target counterterrorism operations and provide security for U.S. infrastructure and civilian personnel. Feingold is going to put his fellow Democrats to the test. If you're really against the war, he's going to tell them now's the time to show it. Those Democrats who are timid on this, who are they listening to? The people don't want us to talk just about ending the escalation. They think this whole war is wrong. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Good morning. morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for the 6 o'clock hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit in the landing. Look for traffic building. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road, and then again between Spady and McKnight. You can expect some delays starting to happen there. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Look for no problems. Northbound 270 at 44 and Big Bend. Look for no delays there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for some slowdowns going on in that area. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect no delays. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 255-270 interchange. Look for some slowdowns starting to happen. Water main work at Illinois 3 southbound at Gloria has reduced it to one lane, so just use caution as you roll through those zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, partly cloudy skies, scattered flurries, high in the lower 30s this evening, occasional snow showers, low around the mid-20s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of snow and flurries with a high in the mid-30s. Thursday evening, 30% chance of snow showers, lower in the mid-20s. And then on Friday, a chance of snow flurries in the day with a high in the mid-30s. Currently, we have 9 degrees in partly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting some clouds and 9 degrees. Our wind chill makes it feel like it's 2. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
One play won the 2005 Tony Award and the Pulitzer Prize.
Received universal raves.
And became the biggest sensation Broadway has seen in years.
That play is Doubt, John Patrick Shanley's electrifying drama.
And now, in a very rare event, a smash hit play arrives here with its original Tony-winning star, the incomparable Cherry Jones.
The New York Times raves, Doubt is the stuff of great art.
Entertainment Weekly gives it an A, cheering this is a breathtaking play, and Cherry Jones is divine.
And the Washington Post calls Doubt a provocative drama that resonates profoundly with audiences.
Don't miss this truly rare chance to experience director Doug Hughes' powerhouse production of the play that has theatergoers buzzing long after the curtain falls.
With Cherry Jones, the star who is making theatrical history in the role of a lifetime.
The most talked about play of the year, Doubt.
Call for tickets today.
Coming to the Fox Theater February 20th through 25th. On sale now at the Fox and through Metrotix. Presented by the Repertory Theater of St. Louis.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wolfitt.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Rise up, rise up, everybody gotta rise up, come follow me, rise up, rise up, it's the mass, got to rise up, you got to rise up, everybody gotta rise up, yeah, you gotta rise up, rise up. Just the sun catch the breeze, we're gonna fire. In love, we see that no man is an island. Say it, we don't fight the silence. Now don't you run from that heart and its power. Hiding away every day in your ivory tower. Thinking about the past and the mistakes we make. Oh, rickety money runs, that's a gamble that we take. Oh.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Guess what the new fear in Washington, D.C. is? The new fear in Washington, D.C. is being George Allen. Folks are afraid of being George Allen, huh? Interesting. Isn't that interesting? George Allen. What is George Allen? Oh, you remember his macaca moment? You remember his macaca moment? In fact, there's so much concern about this. There are Republican campaign strategy sessions. There are Republican conference calls. There are candidates and consultants that have just created a new word to be George Allen. And they're trying to devise tactics to avoid that fate. Because we cannot forget that this 51-second video that killed the career and changed the entire political landscape. The Democrats are in control of the United States Senate thanks to a 51-second video that volleyed all around the world thanks to YouTube. The chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, who's going to be working with the 21 Republicans, the class of 21 that are up for re-election next year, he's telling them, you have to assume that there's a recording device on you all the time. Now, how have campaigns operated in the past? They've operated in the past as a need-to-know method. But with cell phones capable of capturing embarrassing moments and the internet disseminating the information all over the world, universally, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Early discussions about surviving the 2008 election cycle are all about how do we control, how do we control, how do we control. They're saying that you cannot tell jokes. This is how they're controlling. Okay, don't tell any jokes. Don't stumble. Don't snooze in public. Don't yell at your aides. Don't ambush an opponent. Don't do anything humiliating enough to tank a career. But Republican, you know, so the question becomes, who's more focused on this? This control thing, this concern about being George Allen? That would be the Republicans, not the Democrats. Let's ask ourselves the question, why do you suppose the Republicans are more concerned about being George Allen? They are more fixated on it. Is it because that there's a Republican news media out there? No. Because remember, Fox didn't show the macaca piece. NBC didn't show the macaca piece first. ABC didn't show the macaca piece first. It was the internet and YouTube that showed it, and they then went and got it. New York Times didn't write about it till after it was on YouTube. LA Times didn't speak of it until it was on YouTube. So the Republicans, who are very comfortable about concerning the spin or doing the spin and having stories killed on national TV, they've got a whole new world to worry about. Let us ask ourselves the question, why are the Republicans more concerned about being George Allen? At least they're more fixated on it and trying to make sure that their class of 21, the 21 senators that will be up for re-election in 2008, why are they more concerned about it? I think it's because they do more crummy stuff. They do more crummy stuff. Now, they would tell you it's because one of their own. And remember, George Allen was not just a Senate candidate. George Allen, he was winning. He was going to win this race. There was no question about it. He was going to win this race so easily. He was planning on spending his time running around and getting money to run for president, for the presidency. How'd that work out for him? So that was a big kill by the Democrats. That was a super duper kill, political kill by the Democrats. So yeah, the Republicans are running scared. It's going to be interesting. How do you, you know, they let the dogs out. How do you keep a guy who loves telling racist jokes from telling racist jokes? How is that done? How does a guy or a gal who beats up on her staff going to be able to refrain from beating up on their staff? How is a guy or a gal who's a jerk going to stop being a jerk? Cell phones, ask of Michael Richards how cell phone, the impact of cell phones and their little video capabilities. In fact, we have some Republicans running around saying, can you believe that somebody had a video camera and was taking my picture? Yeah. The old guys seem to be astonished by this. A camera caught former Montana Senator Conrad Burns sleeping at a Senate field hearing. Another camera showed Democrat Harold Ford confronting Corker at one of his events. Republicans dubbed it the Memphis Meltdown, and pundits said it was the turning point in the race that Corker won. You hear it every day, says a California media consultant who worked for Corker and has signed on to John McCain's presidential campaign. The fear is more than sitting in the back of their minds. It's very much in the forefront of their minds that are being caught doing something bad. What they're going to have to do is something that has never had to be done, and I don't know that it can be done. Instilling discipline in a candidate. What are the odds of that? They have to instill discipline in their candidates. One Republican, Lautenberg, who's going to be facing re-election next year. It's hard to make jokes. And a large part of my routine, my view of life, carries humor with it. Well, bring your humor on. Be yourself. I'm curious to see your humor. And we're going to tell a story tomorrow about a joke that was told by a city official and a city official that still gets to have their job. A racist, 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 super duper, unbelievably, no, I take away the word unbelievably because he was hired by Francis Slay. Unbelievably racist statement that was made by an official in the city of St. Louis. And he still got his job. Oh, we gonna do some stuff tomorrow. We're going to talk about some stuff tomorrow. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black
operated. Mr. Rogers, host of Radio UFO. On my Minister Rogers, host of Radio UFO. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests. I've had UFO investigator and Minister Rogers, host of Radio UFO. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests. I've had UFO investigator and coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Dennis Balthaser. I've had Sam Marantos, director of the Illinois Mutual UFO Network, and Felix Clairvoyant with the Raelia Movement, the scientific organization that was involved in the first human clone. Tune in every Friday and Saturday night at midnight and listen to more Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations on AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
The information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
No privacy. I didn't know a thing about my legacy. When I realized you were there for me. Calling your name, you came, you did. Just what you said. But I know love you ever. You kept your word to me. But I know love you ever. A promise is a promise in my eyes. Can't say you're gonna just a compromise. The very thing that keeps two hearts intertwined.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Miss Brown. The truth will set you free.
Good morning.
Miss Brown, I enjoyed you last night. You spoke the truth that had to come out. I enjoyed the little fourth grader who got up there, Mike, too. I enjoyed the whole thing, Miss Brown, because this is serious.
Can we just for the record paint the picture for the people that are listening?
Yes, ma'am.
How many people were there last night?
Oh, Miss Brown.
Over 1,000. Over 1,200 people were there. In 1 week. In less than a week notice.
They were there.
1,200 people were there.
Where was Francis, Miss Brown?
Where was he?
Where was Archibald and Jackson?
Jackson was there. He was halfway falling asleep through most of it.
Why
but he was
get
there.
Up at the mic?
Because chicken.
And Miss Brown, I want you to know your girl, I won't say your girl, Veronica, Miss Brown. She's not my girl either. Veronica, she wouldn't even get up. She waited until news people asked her. She said the state should intervene before we vote. That's what she told the news people.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that she intervened before we even vote.
And why? Why?
Why
should the state? What possibly could 30 days make?
Thank you, Miss Brown.
What difference could 30 days make?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. She won't be president of the school board in 30 days.
Miss Brown, they pulled her card in that meeting, too, when they left Clint Falasano's contract.
Uh-huh. Yes, they did.
Miss Brown, guess what? The news asked her about the contract signing, and she come out. She said there's a signing sheet and blah, blah, this, blah, blah. And then they switched the camera to Dr. Borshaw. And news people said, she's calling you a liar about the contract. She said, yes, I know she's calling me a liar. But she wouldn't sign the contract.
But here's the thing. Veronica O'Brien sends out, I don't know, hundreds of crazy, all-capped emails to folks all the time.
Uh-huh.
She wants the copies of everything that's ever been printed in the district. She is at the district every single day harassing people. Part of her job is to sign contracts. Does anybody... All we need to do is ask her for the email where she said to Borisov, send me the contracts.
Thank you.
To sign, because I want to sign them. And there's not one. This is a woman that emails somebody on her way to the bathroom to let them know that she's headed to the bathroom.
And Miss Brown, I like what you said. She's there to sign contracts, not to harass people.
That's fact.
I'm so sick of her, Miss Brown. April and June can't get here soon enough for me, but she didn't have the courage to get up to the mic and tell the people to intervene now before we voted. She waited till the news people asked her. I saw it last night, Miss Brown. I know you did too. She said take it over before we vote.
Well, no, she spoke at the mic.
Did she speak at the mic?
She spoke at the mic, absolutely. She spoke at the mic, and she was booed and booed and booed and booed. No, she spoke at the mic.
Oh, okay, Miss
She
Brown.
Absolutely
and,
spoke
and,
at the mic.
You know, the news people asked her later on, when they played it back, Miss Brown, she said she wanted the state to intervene before we voted. Before the election.
Mm-hmm, because she's going to lose her job.
Well, I'm so glad she was booted, Miss Brown. The truth will set you free. You said it. It had to be said, Miss Brown. I hope Francis heard what you said, and Archibald, too, because, like I said, Miss Brown, they're next, and just bring me two more people, Miss Brown, who's going to work with Purdy, Miss Brown.
All we need is one. All we need is one, for real. Just vote for the top two.
I'm so sick of this, Miss Brown. I don't want no more blockers on there.
All right.
Like I said.
That's why we need two. Okay,
yes,
you're right.
She's going to give up that gavel, too, Miss Brown.
All right,
Miss Brown.
Yes, I do.
Have a nice day, Miss Brown.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Dr. Brown?
D.
Channel 2 and Channel 5 is inaccurately reporting what happened. The woman in the red dress and Veronica are the only ones they're really putting
Ain't
on there.
Ain't that some stuff?
They're trying to make it look like the majority of the people supported a state takeover.
There were 1,200...
I've been trying to call Channel 2 and 5. They won't even answer their phone. They've been paid.
1,200 people there.
But
and you know who that was? Was it the woman in the red dress? You know who that was?
Who?
I believe that was it a light-skinned a black woman?
No, she was a white woman. A white woman in a red top and Veronica had on a red dress. They're the only ones that was pro-state intervention.
No, she's black. She's black. She's black.
State intervention.
The one in the red was black. She's a black woman.
Was she light then?
She's very light.
But anyway...
Wait a minute. Just for a second. The woman that you're talking about is a member of the LAC Leadership Roundtable. She was one of the original people that voted for Roberti to come here.
One of the lackeys.
Okay, she is one of the lackeys. She's been one of the lackeys. Sheila Sticks, I believe, is her name. She's one of the lackeys.
Listen, the city, the state, and the federal government are all trying to lull us into a state of complacency. Hold on to your mind. What is being attempted is called mass hypnosis. They put out a lie, make people believe it's true. We need to call Channel 2 and 5 and tell them that they're reporting inaccurate stuff. They won't answer their phones.
Mm.
Channel 4 is the only one that put down, said they reported the truth. 2 and 5 are lying.
And then NPR is also reporting the truth of it. NPR is reporting that there were 1,200 people there.
Okay.
NPR was reporting that most of the people, there were only two people. out of the dozens and dozens and dozens
that
and
spoke.
Dozens of people that spoke
mm-hmm.
that were in support of it, one was Veronica O'Brien and one was Sheila who there were three people. There was some white guy who said, my kids already got their education, shut it down. So there were three people. A white guy, a member of the LAC Leadership Roundtable who screwed this up, and then Veronica O'Brien. Those were the only people that spoke in support of a state takeover. Channel 2 and Channel 5 didn't report that at all.
But the people are angry.
Yes, they are.
They're up in arms. Thank you.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. Earlene.
Hey, Liz.
Good morning.
Hi. I have to disagree with the lady who just called. I've been watching Channel 5 since about 5:30 this morning. I've seen you at least three times. They leave the story showing you making your statement.
Really?
Yes.
Which part of my statement do they show?
4-year-old girl.
What part of my my statement do they show me making?
You were saying it's about politics.
Okay.
It's not about the children. It's about politics. And the only thing that I will say Channel 2 was inaccurate was that they said, well, maybe not inaccurate, they said dozens of people spoke out. Now, I don't know if they're talking about only the people who actually got up to the mic. Because they said dozens of people showed up, and I'm thinking, like, I know there were
said showed up or spoke out.
But they said dozens of people, and again, I was kind of half listening, half watching. But I do remember Channel 2 using the word dozens. Okay?
Yeah, because dozens of people did speak, but,
right, but
1,200
they
people.
They did show the crowd.
Okay.
Okay, and I said, well, that's more than dozens of people.
Yeah.
And then Channel 5 has said, each time I've seen it, they've been showing it like every half hour or so, they said thousands of people showed up.
Okay.
The majority of whom were against the district takeover. There were a few. Now, they've only shown one time. They showed, I guess that was Sheila.
Right.
Six mm-hmm. that they showed.
Mm-hmm.
They showed her speaking. They showed one other person speaking in four of it. They showed a brief interview with Veronica after the fact. They showed Veronica kind of slumped down, you know, how she was slumped down in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And then they spoke to her afterwards. But I have to disagree with the lady who just came on.
Okay.
Since at least, you know, whenever they start the morning news on 5,
mm-hmm.
they've been showing it. Because, like I say, you've been very, very prominently shown. As they showed a little 4-year-old reading her statement. They showed a retired teacher who had the glasses on.
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, I have to give Channel 5 their props. They've been showing
up. Now, I guess my question is, did you see it when they showed it at night? Because
I think the lady may have seen.
Maybe what they showed at the 10 o'clock is different than what they're showing at the 5 o'clock and the 6 o'clock news.
Right, because see, the thing about it, when you look at it, the meeting didn't get over until late.
That's right.
They can only squeeze a very little bit into a 10 o'clock show that's already been formatted, okay? So they've had time now to show a much more extensive portion of it. They showed the people with the signs, as I say, they showed a view from the front of the auditorium all the way to the back where you can see that it was packed. And as I say, they have been saying thousands
okay.
of people showed up.
And I got a roll. Thank
so
you, Earl.
People need to watch the early.
Okay, very good. Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
You drink that hot lemon tea like I told you last
yes,
night.
Ma'am, I
Everything
did.
Everything was beautiful
yes,
last
it was.
Night. I had my TV on this morning since 15 to 6, and I've been calling people that I saw and told them, sorry, I woke them up, but turn it on. You're on TV. You were on there approximately 3 or 4 times because I switched. 2, 4, 5, and went to 11. Couldn't get anything on 11. But the people that spoke last night in favor of was just 1 or 2 people.
That's right.
Because we were there. I don't know what time you got there.
I got there at 5 o'clock.
Okay, I was picked up at 10 after 5, and we were in the lobby, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had the doors open, it was like a football game.
It really was.
Rushing.
People were, you know what, that's a beautiful point. That is an absolutely beautiful point because the door, people were packed and they did rush in. I'm coming to this meeting. I am coming to this meeting.
You were thinking that they were giving out free something, but it shows, Ms. Brown and the listeners, we must learn to work together. I was so proud that Pastor Fonberry stayed of the Fairfax Baptist Church. He was on his way out. I said, wait. I said, you don't need to leave now. And I don't know if it was a spirit or what. 2 seconds later, Charles Brown was asking, was there anyone there from the clergy?
There you
and
go.
And he spoke well. We're going to get together with some of these churches, Miss Brown. We're going to have more intervention and more cooperation. Some pastors, I work, go to a church next door to Columbia, and my pastor is at fault. Has not been, will not come.
Get down, get on it. Get on.
I don't mind saying it on TV. Our pastors need to be there. Thanks to Miss Brown.
Thank
keep
you.
Keep up the good work and keep that lemon tea.
All right now. Bye. Listen, folks, I'm sorry, but stay with me. We got the St. Louis Public Schools Watch coming up. Stay with me. I'll get to your calls, I promise. I'll be back with Peter Downs. Stay with me.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Okay, let's get a show of hands. Is there anybody who's not running for president? Another candidate has thrown a hat into the ring, but Delaware Senator Joe Biden's announcement today is really no surprise.
I'm the 800th candidate, yes. I am. And as you know, you've got to file the formal papers to meet the legal requirements to be able to raise money, and that's what I've done today. Everybody else calls it exploratory. I'm not exploring. I'm in, and this is the beginning of a marathon.
Biden this morning on ABC's Good Morning America, he joins Barack Obama, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and lots of others in his own party in the race for the White House, not to mention a lot of Republicans. Do you know where and how federal money is being spent to rebuild Iraq? The State Department was surprised to find out and has promised to keep closer tabs on it. Here's ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
The latest quarterly report from the Special Inspector General shows Iraqi reconstruction aid continues to go to waste, with tens of millions squandered on weapons that can't be accounted for and an Interior Ministry training camp that's gone unused. Overall, the audit shows sectarian violence remains the greatest obstacle to reconstruction efforts. Corruption among Iraqi officials is high, and U.S. contract management remains somewhat weak. But the report suggests fraud is not a significant problem. President Bush is now pressing Congress to approve more than $1 billion in new reconstruction aid. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
This has been a busy morning for police in Birmingham, England. They've arrested 8 people on terrorism-related charges, one of them accused of plotting a pretty graphic attack.
It would have been a kidnapping, and that the target would have been a serving member of the British military. One British network reporting this morning the next step would have been to behead him and post that video on the Internet. Police have not confirmed that detail.
ABC's Jim Sciutto in London. A shootout at a sheriff's home in Florida has left 4 people dead, including the sheriff's wife, the 2 gunmen suspected of killing her, and a sheriff's deputy also died in the gunfire. This is ABC News.
If you have a family history of diabetes, listen to what consumers say about Cromax.
My parents are diabetics. After learning I was pre-diabetic, I decided to do something. I discovered Cromax. It really works. I can tell a huge difference in my cravings and my energy level.
Cromax Chromium Picolinate is patented for its nutritional benefits to help promote healthy blood sugar and cholesterol levels, increase energy, and fight weight gain. Take control of your health with Cromax. Look for the yellow and blue Cromax box in the vitamin aisle at fine drug, grocery stores, and super centers.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, get up to a $90 cash rebate with purchase of Continental or General tires. That's right, up to $90 cash back. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
What's this? Harry Potter? Naked? Yeah. Here's ABC's David Blasting.
17-year-old Daniel Radcliffe is appearing without clothing on London's West End in a revival of the play Equus. According to the website This Is London, various websites have been receiving email from concerned parents whose kids view Radcliffe as a role model. A spokesman for the actor says that Radcliffe doesn't want to step away from Harry Potter, but does want to show he is a rounded actor capable of different and diverse roles. David Blaustein, ABC News.
He wrote page-turners like Rage of Angels and If Tomorrow Comes, but did you know that Sidney Sheldon was the man who created this hit TV show? That's the theme for I Dream of Jeannie, in case you didn't know. The publishing and media legend died of complications of pneumonia just a few weeks shy of his 90th birthday. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Bryansmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, MoDOT is holding several public meetings to discuss the Highway 40 project. The first took place last night at the James S. McDonald Planetarium. Officials say the meetings will include illustrations of what the highway will be like after the $535 million construction project is complete. The other meetings will take place on Tuesday, February 6th from 4 to 7 at Brentwood Middle School, and on Tuesday, February 13th from 4 to 7 at the St. Louis County Library. A man is dead after being shot by Carbondale police during an assault. Authorities say that police found 22-year-old Lawrence Worth restraining and stabbing an unarmed man. Police say that when Worth refused to drop his weapon, he was shot once by an officer and later died at a Carbondale hospital. The stabbing victim was treated at the hospital and released. Finally this hour, a St. Louis County charity is being ordered to pay restitution. A county judge ruled that Gateway to a Cure must pay more than $3 million in restitution and penalties for allegedly fraudulent raffles. The judge also barred the charity from holding any more raffles. The court order says that Gateway sold thousands of raffle tickets in Missouri, Illinois, and Florida. It's not clear whether the charity can meet its financial obligations. This WGNU News report is sponsored by Candy Bouquet at 620 North Skinker. For a bear hug this Valentine's Day, send the Teddy Bear Valentine gift basket from Candy Bouquet. Call 314-863-CANDY or visit CandyBouquet.com for a location near you. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bryansmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's check out your traffic and your weather for the 7 o'clock hour. Eastbound 70 from K-379, look for a slowdown there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some delays there. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, and then again from Lindbergh through McKnight, expect delays. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into West Florissant, look for some slowdowns there. Northbound 270 at 44, look for some delays. Eastbound 270 at Graham Hanley and New Florissant, look for a disabled vehicle around New Florissant. That's causing some traffic buildups there. And northbound 270 at Dorset and 70, look for some delays around the 70 exit lanes. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Partly cloudy, scattered snow flurries today, high in the lower 30s this evening. Occasional snow showers with low in the mid-20s. For Thursday, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of snow and flurries with a high in the mid-30s. And Friday, 40% chance of snow showers late in the day with a high in the mid-30s. Currently, we've got 8 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 9. The wind chill makes it feel like it's plus 2. So bundle up if you're headed out to the bus stop. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, 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 air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you
Developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
Very good.
How are you? I'm good.
Very, very, very good. And it was a great evening last night, was it not?
Yes, it was a fantastic evening.
And I want to get to a couple callers here that have been holding on to, because I know they want to talk about what they experienced last night. It was an amazing, amazing turnout, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was way higher than my expectation. 10 degrees outside.
That's right. School night?
School night. No parking nearby.
No parking.
And the place was full.
We had over...
Holds 1,200,
yep,
is what I heard.
Yep.
Barstow said it holds 1,200.
And
it was full.
And it was full. And it was full. Robin, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown. Good morning, Mr. Downs. Yes, it was really cold. And my mother and I, we parked about a half a block away just to make sure that we'd be able to get in and get out. I enjoyed the town hall meeting. But I do want to say something about Miss O'Brien. Just watching her mannerisms and everything last night, it doesn't seem that she could care less about our kids. It's like it's a personal vendetta for her.
I think it is.
She looks possessed. I mean, it looks like it's her against us, you know. If it's not her way, it's no way.
Absolutely, and that is the problem. That has been the problem with her. That it is her way or no way at all.
And I found that to just be, it was kind of scary. You know, you don't mind hurting thousands of children in the St. Louis public school system just because you can't get your way. She's another Frances Slater, twins. You know, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Have a good day.
All right, thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Veronica O'Brien doesn't matter. I've said to my friends that it's about she'd rather tear the whole thing down if she doesn't get her way. You know, just destroy the whole thing. You know, and that is a criticism that is out there that is all about just having their way, having her way, or tearing it down.
you hear that criticism a lot, and certainly there are a lot of things that feed into that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard you mention on when I was driving in all these emails and all her requests,
mm-hmm.
and she's doing all that, spending all that time, demanding all this information, and she's going out and then not signing contracts.
That's, I mean, how do you explain that? And you had to have, I mean, just think about it. You had to have a special meeting in order to get a vote so that you can sign contracts to pay bills for a district that has challenges. And she's not signing the doggone contracts.
But it's not like these are surprise contracts. They've been before the board at two meetings and approved. Some of them have been approved 7-0.
7-0?
7-0. Some of these contracts have been approved unanimously, and then she's still not signing them.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Down. Stay with us.
Docs Harley-Davidson presents the opening round of the Extreme International Ice Racing AMA Pro Tour Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. It's Speedway bikes and quads modified to compete on ice. Don't miss all the heart-pounding action as ice racing superstars Anthony British Bulldog Barlow, James Demolition Man, and Charlie the Edge Venegas go 0-60 in 3 seconds on nitro-burning two-wheel rockets with steel-studded tires and no brakes at all. Also, don't miss the wheel-grinding action of the Unlimited Outlaw Quads Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. Kids tickets are just $5. Get your tickets today at MetroTix outlets, online at MetroTix.com, or charge by phone at 314-534-1111. It's the opening round of the Extreme International Ice Racing AMA Pro Tour, brought to you by Doc Sarley Davidson, Friday, February 2nd at the Family Arena. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative of Heartland Bank and Securities America, are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Buzzy calling you from McLean School, Jackie Gray, room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Reign supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. I want to get to one or two more callers here. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I was there at the meeting last night, and let me tell you, you're right, it was well over 1,200 and more. And the children were just wonderful and beautiful that how they explained, and I brought myself, you know, and my own children there as well. And they would like to say a quick word.
Hi, my name is Alan, and I was just so tired, and we don't want the state to take over.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, and I do not want the state to take over our school district, and I also want to say good morning, Liz.
Good morning, sweetie. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. And I would also like to add that Channel 4 is the news station that is reporting more accurately. Channel 5 and 2 is still saying hundreds and a group. And they all do lead the story off myself as well as one of the fourth grade students from the public school, and then in opposition to that, they have, of course, the lady from the leader LAC round ship table, uh-huh, as well as
the plant. Okay, thank you so much. Hug your babies for me.
I sure will.
All
and
right.
Go, girl.
All right. And just hearing those children's voices, last night we heard so many of the babies' voices out there.
Yes, there are a lot of children from elementary, middle, and high school,
mm-hmm,
all who got up and spoke.
In fact, the third person to speak was a young woman from Gateway.
From Gateway High, yeah. She was there. I think she's the student council president.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And she presented there. She said she had a petition signed by 565 students and parents.
565 students and parents. And then there was the one adorable little boy who just was the showstopper, who talked about, you know, if there are two rotten apples on a tree, you don't cut the tree down. You don't cut the apple tree down. You get rid of the rotten apples. I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't he wonderful?
He was good. He's a future leader there.
You know, a friend of mine leaned over, politician.
A voice from your politician.
Because he was really getting into it. He was adorable. And then you and I were talking off the air, Peter. When we looked at that crowd of 1,200 people, because Harristowe, the auditorium holds 1,200 people, and there were people standing against the walls because they didn't have seats to sit in. It was an amazing, I don't know that I've ever seen a gathering quite like that before.
It was very much a picture of I think, of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. An accurate picture.
Yeah, yeah. We had, black and white, mm-hmm, parents, people from all walks of life.
All walks of life. We had pastors, we had politicians, we had mothers and fathers that came up to the mic to speak about how they were, they go into the schools and how their kids are treated in the schools. We had white men, we had white women, we had African men, we had African women. I don't know that I've ever been at a gathering in St. Louis that looked quite, a gathering that large that looked quite like that.
I don't think I've been one that large that looks quite like that.
And I mean, we're talking about 1,200 people, and the fact that it was only 5 days. I mean, it was only a week.
It was only a week.
Worth of notice, and you had a weekend in there. So, you know, so how did people know? How did people know to come? Why did people come? Because it was just that important.
Yes.
You know, and at the very end, I had to leave at 8:30 because I got to get to bed. At the very end, it was like politicians were coming out the woodwork.
Yes, around 9:30, we had a string of politicians who, mm-hmm, got up to speak. The official end of the hearing, and Charles Brown decided to dispense with the random picking, mm-hmm, of names. He had said at the end, I think there were over 60 people, mm-hmm, who spoke, and he said he had about 50 still left in, uh-huh, his deck that had been called on. But he dispensed with that to call up several politicians. Darlene Green spoke very forcefully, mm-hmm, against a takeover. Maida Coleman spoke. Frank Williamson spoke. Talib bin El-Amin didn't speak, but he was getting very late at that point. Charles Brown acknowledged he was there. But there was a string of people.
Then we had
Jesse
Todd, who did speak.
Jesse Todd spoke. Mm-hmm.
We had Jamila Nasheed spoke. We had we had candidates that were running for office speak. We had Willis.
But I think it's Lee Willis.
Lee Willis spoke. I saw Craig Schmidt in the audience.
Craig Schmidt was there in the audience.
In the audience. So there were a ton of elected officials there, and it was an amazing, it was to me, the energy and the passion in the room about, and the clarity of understanding of why, how we got here was inescapable. Don't you think?
Yes. Speaker after speaker, it referred not just to Slay's Raiders,
mm-hmm,
it referred not just to Liberty. They also, several speakers, referred to the role of the state itself,
that's
of Kent,
right,
King,
that's right,
in creating this crisis.
That's right. And I was watching the faces of the representatives from DESE, the ones that weren't on the stage, because they just put Charles Brown up there.
The two others were sitting on the floor.
And I was watching their faces, and from what I could read of their faces, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. You know, that it was, they were amazed at the amount of people that showed up. Because what do you suppose they were told about, okay, we're going to have this hearing and we're going to have a few people come and that's going to be that?
Well, you figure only 1 week notice. How often do you hear of a government?
There you go.
Having a hearing with its only 1 week notice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only 1 week notice. And it's getting close to the date. It's cold weather.
Very chilly.
10 degrees.
The coldest of the season. This is the coldest snap.
Coldest of the season. All right, that'll keep people away.
Mm-hmm.
And they plan it for Harris. So going in, I was thinking, all right, they're giving us 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving the people St. Louis 1 week, and they plan it for the biggest auditorium they can get a hold of.
There you go.
You know, so the plan must be, I figured they were thinking, all right, so even if a couple hundred people come out,
it'll look empty.
Like small crowd. But it was packed.
They were
shocked at the size of the crowd, number one. And when people started speaking, and it was just clear how almost unanimous the people of St. Louis are.
Because statistically, when you have out of 60 people that spoke, you have three people that speak opposite of the way that 57
right.
other people spoke.
That's
5%. Statistically, that's insignificant. Yeah, I mean, that really is statistically. So the overwhelming majority... 95% of the people that spoke were in opposition to the state takeover and were clear whether they were a fourth grader or a 75-year-old. They all were clear that it was wrong, and they were clear in their reasons of why it was wrong.
Yes.
And I have to go to the Sheila who spoke. I was interested to see her there because she's never at any of the school board meetings. And it was interesting to see her there for this thing and the insulting statement that she made to us, that it is the height of insanity to keep doing what we're doing and expecting the same results. So we're stupid. That's the message that came out of her mouth. We're stupid. We don't understand. We are insane. We are happy with an insane thing to continue doing what it is that we're doing. And the other piece of it is just the whole throw the rock and hide the hand piece of it, because the reason why we're here today is because of what Sheila, the LAC Leadership Roundtable, because she's a member of the LAC Leadership Roundtable. She was part of the group that said yes to Roberti. She didn't say boo when we lost our accreditation point. The height of throw the rock and hide your hand is what she was doing last night. You caused this. And now you're saying we're insane and we're trying to repeat what you did.
I can't argue with that, but just the one thing I would say, even though, and I think she did intend to insult everybody there, but if you look at what the proposal is, putting Mayor Slay back in control after he created the disaster again, well, isn't that the repetition she's talking about? Isn't that the real insanity there?
That would be an insane thing. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz and Peter. How you all doing?
Good morning.
Wonderful.
All right. You guys doing a stopping good job with this. I was going to say, for the people that wasn't there last night, I had just a little small snippet, Liz. I wanted to play for them and let them hear it. Can I do it?
Sure.
Okay. This is that People Radio Land. This is Liz at the mic. Looking all good. Hair looking all good. Looking all sharp. Okay. This is the man behind you, too, Liz. Listen, here you go.
We are here. This is not a discussion about what are the best practices. We are here for one reason and one reason only, because of politics. That's why we are here.
It was a 7:45 when I arrived here this morning.
Thank you.
So I could be first in line to tell the state no.
In my opinion,
now that lady that you said was she looks like a Caucasian lady, but you say she's black?
Oh, she's black.
Okay, this is one more piece of her. Listen to this. Listen to this.
That's a different result.
Okay, I wanted him to hear you. You did a good job. You guys keep on doing a good job.
All right, now, thanks, Rob. 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm telling you, Peter, it was such a good night. And the love, and I just, that's the only word that I can use to describe the love that people have for Diana Boris. It's just amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
It's just amazing. You know, there were teachers that said, when I see her smile in the morning, I know it's going to be all right, and it makes me smile. Dang! How long has Diana Boriso been there?
6 months.
6 months, and people love her.
Yeah, they do. But I think we, as citizens of St. Louis, and concerned about education, we have to be a little cautious about that. Diana Borisov, I think, is doing a great job. She's a real breath of fresh air after what's been going on for the previous 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At the same time, you know, these are clever people at the state.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want them to drive a wedge there and say, all right, well, let's keep Diana Borisov and get rid of the school board.
There you
and
go.
Let's get rid of people's right to vote
there
and say,
go.
Well, you don't need a right to vote because you got Diana Borisov.
There you go. There you go. And that is not the solution, and we cannot be tricked or duped or distracted with that. It is a wonderful thing to have Diana Borisov there, but just having her there doesn't solve the problem if they take away our right to vote.
That's right.
We're going to be back. This is St. Louis Public Schools Work. Watch. I am talking to Peter Downs. This is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 55 from 141 through Richardson. Look for slow traffic due to an accident that's off the road near Richardson Road, so use caution. Southbound 55 at Z and Herculane and McNutt exit. Look for delays due to stop-and-go traffic due to an accident at McNutt, which is exit 178. Eastbound 40 from Weldon Spring through K. Look for slow traffic due to an accident that's right at west of Highway K. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and 44. Look for some delays. Westbound 367 from westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant. Look for some delays. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for a slowdown there. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight, and then again from 141 through Mason. You can expect delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing is starting to stack up this hour. Northbound Route 3, that approach onto the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good this hour. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to U-70, expect some delays. Westbound 55-70 from the Poplar Street Bridge back into the 64 split. Look for some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather. For today, tomorrow, and for Friday, partly cloudy, scattered flurries with a high in the lower 30s. This evening, occasional snow showers, low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of flurries with a high in the mid-30s. Thursday evening, 30% chance of snow showers, low in the mid-20s. And Friday, another chance for snow showers late in the day with a high in the mid-30s. Currently, we've got 9 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 9, and the wind chill makes it feel like it's 2. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Later today on the Sloan Ranger Show, coming up in the 6 p.m. hour, Lloyd's joined by Jerome Corsi and Monica Ramos, two principal figures in the case of jailed Border Patrol agents Ignacio Ramos and Jose Alonso Campion. Don't miss the Sloan Ranger, Lloyd Sloan, 5 till 7 this evening on AM 920 WGNU.
Real life.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCrease School, second grade, from 209. Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Kuta Kite knows his roots. His mother name is Pippa, and his father name is Amaru. Kuta has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from Room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Down.
Welcome back.
The feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. Peter, I think that it's wonderful how all of us are feeling after that extraordinary showing last night. After over 1,200 people were there at Harris Stowe Auditorium, filling the room up, speaking in their opposition to and in their opposition by their presence to this state takeover and the nullification of our votes. But now we need the next step. What should we, the thing that people, we need to let people know what they should be focusing on next, because it's not over.
No, it's not over. And I realize we're all happy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of confidence in the people of St. Louis because we have been fighting this fight
for
good schools for 4 years now.
Yes, we have.
4 years. That's a long time
mm-hmm.
to continue a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I can assure you, having talked to a lot of people in different campaigns, politicians, men, everything, they were convinced everybody was too tired to fight
anymore.
That's right. They were convinced everybody was too tired of fighting.
That's right.
And for 1,200 people around is an amazing accomplishment.
No, 1,200 in a week.
In a week.
1 week and a
and
cold.
Maybe more, because people were coming and going during the meeting.
There you go.
And I know there are people, I heard about people who came to the meeting and were turned back by the fact that they would have to park a mile away
exactly.
and walk in cold weather
exactly.
to get there. And they
exactly.
said,
I can't do it. So when we what's the next step? What's the thing that we should be focusing on? February 15th.
I think the next step is the State Board of Education meeting February 15th.
Mm-hmm.
We got 2 weeks to get letters in to the board members themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I know promises were made that all these comments, you know, and there's going to end up being a whole box full of comments
mm-hmm.
are going to get to the board members. I think that's unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way bureaucracies work,
mm-hmm.
you know. So people, we'll get addresses. I'll get addresses to you. We'll put addresses out on email and web, and people can see and write directly to the state board members.
And I wish there was a way that we could email them, but what's interesting is that you call up there and they say, and you say, I want to email one of the members. No, just email us and we'll get it to them.
That's right. It's just email to Desi, and you got to trust
that Desi's going to
get there.
That'll get there. I don't. James.
Good morning. Liz, I'm looking at Channel 2 now, and it's stated April, or whatever her name is, on Channel 2, the roving reporter. She said there were 600 people there voicing their opinion.
And that's something.
Yes. The one thing, I tried to get in. I don't live in the city. I was late getting there, and I'm an old man. I can't walk. I couldn't walk from my car. I had to park my car out on Market. And I was afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the crowd was so, it was quite awesome that the people that was turned out up there yesterday.
The auditorium holds 1,200 people. There's a balcony
yeah.
and the main floor.
Right.
The main floor was filled
mm-hmm.
and the balcony was filled, and there were people standing along the hallways. There were people standing in the backs against the wall, two and three people deep, and there were people milling about in the hallways at least 50 feet on each side, people there as well. So for the media to say 600 people,
yeah.
it's a sin against God.
Well, I know. The thing about it, I'm looking at a bullet train, and it don't look good from what I'm thinking. I had foreseen how they're doing the inaccurate reporting on a daily basis. They showed this light-skinned lady. asked not to do it. And then they showed this guy, what is her name, O'Brien.
Uh-huh.
She is suggesting that the story, and take it before the election. She was saying to take the, do it before the election.
And the other, and thanks for that call. Thanks
sure.
for the call, James. And that's significant. The media picks, out of 60 people that speak, they gave two people, I mean, they reported two voices in opposition. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. if you're going to report on this, and 60 people spoke and only two people spoke in support of it, seems to me that you'd have far more people saying, I am opposed to this, I'm opposed to this, I'm opposed to this.
Yeah, that's really a common problem with mm-hmm. the media on these things. They, in the idea of being even-handed, they want to say, well, we're being even-handed. You have a situation here where 95% are opposed to state takeover, but the reporting, they'll do two and two, or one
go.
And one.
There you go. As
make it look even.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so let's get back to what needs to happen, because the state is supposed to vote on this on the 15th.
The state will probably take some kind of action on the 15th.
Okay.
You know, they might decide to put it off another month.
Okay.
They're
going to be meeting. We know that they're going to be meeting.
The state will meet on the 15th. They've said this will be on their agenda on the 15th. So we need to send comments directly to state board members. Some are probably more open to listening than others. The newest board member, Reverend Archie from Kansas City, you know, he brought up in January his concern about taking away people's right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, the chairman of the board, Peter Hirschend from Silver Dollar City, is it was very clear he wants to take over the district.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are seven there right now. There's one empty seat. That's the seat from the region that is St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. And one of the other things I thought that was interesting last night is the impact of 1,200 people on elected officials. You know, it was good that Senator Coleman was there last night.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's always good for elected officials that when they look around the room and they see 1,200 people there, they're like, dang, okay, I better get on the right side of this issue. And that's not a commentary on Maida Coleman, but that's a commentary on some politicians. This is what the people want. And sometimes it takes an event like this for some politicians to figure out, to believe that this is what the people want.
Yes, yes. And we've heard a lot about, and we've seen press coverage claiming that the people want a state takeover.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about how faulty all it is and how inaccurate
mm-hmm.
that is. But there's press coverage out there, and politicians read the press. And you had claims from people like school board member Ron Jackson saying, oh, well, nobody's protesting, so they must be in favor of it.
There you go. There you go.
Well, you can't say that anymore.
No, you can't.
And we have put the lie to that.
There you
claim.
Go. And so much so that even though the Post-Dispatch gives an insulting, condescending Sheila Bader, whatever her name is, assessment of the meeting, here's the headline, crowd unhappy about state plan. Ain't that some stuff?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know, like, first of all, we're citizens. First of all, we're parents, we're teachers, we're mothers, we're fathers, we're students. We're not a crowd. You know, when have you ever seen such a ridiculously inaccurate assessment about a crowd unhappy? But then even the Post-Dispatch had to lead with a statement, nearly 1,200 irate parents, teachers, and ordinary citizens packed a college auditorium. They couldn't ignore 1,200 people in that auditorium. 1-877-920-WGNU. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
From what I hear, I want to congratulate you because I think you were the catalyst, the spark that got this activity that happened last night, and congratulations.
There were a lot of people that really wanted to make certain that this thing turned out the way that it did. And
yeah.
I'm proud of all of us.
There's an example of the Constitution that starts out, we the people.
There you go.
What I wanted to say is, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but you say we have to hold our politicians' feet to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Claire McCaskill answered my question on your show that she was against the state takeover
mm-hmm.
of public schools.
Mm-hmm.
She was conspicuous by her have been an opportunity for her to walk the talk.
You know what? I'm going to have Claire on my show next week.
Yes.
And we will talk to her exactly about that.
Okay, Liz.
Okay? Absolutely. Yeah. And you make a very good point. She
yeah,
said it on the show, and absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Congratulations, Liz.
Thank you for your call, Dimitri.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. So, Let's quickly talk about what another thing that happened this week. This is almost eclipsed by this the amazing turnout yesterday, last night. The meeting that you all had to have on Tuesday, can you set that up for us? Talk to us
yes.
about what led up to that.
All right, well, we had a special board meeting on Tuesday called by Flint Fowler on receipt of letters requesting it from William Purdy, me, and Donna Jones. And it was prompted by the failure of the board to act on a couple of important pieces of business, and it was prompted by the failure of the president to sign contracts. I think last week we discussed some of the contracts here, important ones, even dealing with boilers in the schools and getting tests to kids. So things affecting the safety
books,
and the education.
Books, tests, and safety of our kids.
Of our kids. So there were two parts to the special meeting. One was a closed meeting on human resources, which really was to, the board has to ratify all of the hires and transfers that happened in the district.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some principals who have left in the middle of the year. And so we need interim principals and assistant principals had to be placed. And then the other thing was the resolution to have the secretary, that's Flint Fowler, can sign contracts in place of Veronica O'Brien.
And you had to do that because Veronica O'Brien is so busy running up to Jefferson City, so busy sending out emails with all capital letters, so busy asking for every transcript of every meeting that's ever happened, so busy taking tapes from the board from closed meetings and taking it up to Jefferson City and letting people hear that she didn't have time to do her work, so you all had to have a special meeting in order that the business of the district was able to be continued.
That's right.
We'll be back. Stay with us. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hi, this is Lisbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Each Friday, my co-host Connie Mitchell and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects, so come here just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. Learn how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. That's Design 411 at noon, Wednesdays on AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school, second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful message, African message that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eye, just like my teacher. I'm in room 201 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning wake-up call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. My name is Liz Brown. Let me get to a couple more callers. Maria.
Good morning, Liz and Peter. How are you doing this morning?
Outstanding.
Hi. That's good. Wonderful job yesterday on the meeting. I was unable to make the meeting, but I have a few questions. Peter, you keep saying what's next, but you said we need to email Desi. You want to give us those email addresses to email Desi? Or do we just send it to Desi's general email address?
Desi's general email address, they just have the one address, and that's where we got to come back. I'll get Liz, and I'm sure another show she will
if you can send
read the
to
actual
me.
Mail addresses for the board member. For Desi, it's publicinfo@desi.mo.gov.
Okay. And also, what can parents and students do right now? Because it's very clear that the parents and teachers and students do not want this, but we know how politics play a big part in this. What can we do? But I always say it's never too late.
It is absolutely not too late. One of the things that I advocate for people to do definitely is not just write Desi. In fact, I don't even know that I would say write Desi. We're going to get the actual addresses of some of the board members.
Yes.
But also, we need to be targeting members of the Education Committee up in the legislature, because in order for this to happen, there has to be a change in legislation. When there's a lawsuit filed, when this happens, we also have that to fight on that issue as well. It's a political issue right now. We have to target our politicians. We have to make them clear that we are not in support of this. And I think the strongest argument that we have, because this argument cuts against whether how you feel about the St. Louis Public Schools, is taking away the right to vote, taxation without representation, nullification of our vote. That would happen if this three-person board, because remember, the report didn't say to have the state take over. The report was pushing for this three-person panel.
That's right. The report is actually pushing for a panel appointed by the governor, the mayor, and the president of the Board of Aldermen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's, do you live in the city, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have two kids in public schools.
Okay, so you know there's an election coming up next month in March for the president of the Board of Aldermen. Only one candidate has said, I'm in opposition to this takeover. I'm in opposition to this three-person panel. I do not support this. Only one of those candidates has said that, and that has been Lewis Reed. So it's important that you involve yourself in that race, because remember, Shrewsbury didn't say anything when they shut down all the schools.
No, he did.
Shrewsbury didn't hold a single hearing, and he had the authority to do that. Irene J. Smith went to Shrewsbury to hold hearings on this. He said, no, I ain't doing that. So we got to get rid of him, because he would then have the authority to point the person. Are you feeling me?
Yeah.
Are you seeing how things are politically connected?
Oh, We said this 6 years ago.
All right. So this election that's coming up for the president of the Board of Aldermen is key, as key as the election that's coming up in April for the school board members.
Okay. I just have one other quick question. I don't know what has happened to Veronica O'Brien, but is there any way that we can get her off the board? Because in my opinion, she's really hurting the board.
Thanks for your call. I'll let Peter take that.
There is not a recall process for school board members.
Mm-hmm.
The only process that I know of involves a lawsuit. I think 10 citizens have to file suit to remove somebody, and they have to show that she was actually engaged in some kind of illegal behavior.
Mm-hmm. Or, well, it wasn't illegal with what happened with Rochelle Moore.
I thought they were claiming assault.
Right.
She poured water.
She was never charged or convicted or anything like
that.
So the thing about not signing the checks, I mean not signing the contract.
The contracts.
could be that. The whole laptop for her kids or iPod for her kids thing, that could be. Because if they didn't have to prove in a court of law that Rochelle Moore committed a crime, then you don't have to prove in a court of law that Veronica stole that stuff or got that stuff for her kids. And because that's what people are saying out there. People are saying that well, she took the credit card from the board and used it to purchase personal items for her children.
Yeah. Well, whether or not you have to prove that, I think actually gets into politics again.
Exactly.
And the politics behind the judges.
Exactly.
But yes, certainly the grounds are there.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what happened with Rochelle Moore, the grounds are there. But it actually takes a lawsuit filed by, and I think it's a minimum of 10 citizens.
And then the other piece of it is that you have to also consider the political ramifications of that. Who gets to appoint if Veronica is removed, and that puts the ball back in Francis Slay's court?
That's right. The mayor then appoints.
He can appoint Shamel. He could appoint anybody that he wanted to fill the remainder of that seat, and we have a lot of time left in Veronica's seat. I think the best thing politically, strategically to do is change the composition of the board in April, and
yes.
Therefore she will not be the president of the board. She will be marginalized by not being the president of the board. She won't get the attention from the press because she's just another school board member on there. She's not the president of the board. So you marginalize somebody that's disruptive. You put them in the ultimate timeout. You put them in political school board timeout by taking away her title as president.
Yeah, that's what you do.
1-877-920-WG and you, Mary.
Yes, Mary, my concern, Liz and Peter, is with Flint Fowler signing, you know, the contracts. I'm not so sure we'll get them all signed now because doesn't he usually vote with the other three to make the majority of four?
Good question, Mary.
Okay,
thank you for that.
I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for that question.
That's something nice. We'll just have to see how it goes. The officers of the board, there's the president, the vice president, and the secretary. And on board resolutions, the secretary is supposed to sign off on them anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was just a continuation, really. You look at where the defined roles are and power, and so the secretary makes sense as the custodian of the records and someone has to sign the resolution.
And Flint Fowler is the secretary.
And Flint Fowler is the secretary. He does often vote with the other three. At the same time, like I said, a lot of these contracts pass unanimously.
But the other piece of it is that when there was a vote, an attempted vote by Veronica and Ron Jackson to remove Diana Borisso, Flint Fowler didn't support that.
He did not support that.
So Diana Borisso stayed because of Flint Fowler's vote.
Yes.
So, yes, he does vote with them often, but the real thing about it is that those contracts are now signed, and it couldn't be any worse than what we're doing right
now.
It couldn't be any worse than what Veronica O'Brien was doing. And I just got to think that it must have been galling to Veronica O'Brien on a personal note that all of the things that all of the attacks that she had leveled at Diana Borisso when you had an entire auditorium of people who had nothing but big love for Diana Borisso, it's just trying to paint a picture of the situation in one way and to have all of this evidence and information coming out that no, that's not the way the picture is really supposed to be painted,
right.
Because people do like her.
Yeah, and just quickly, I've been with the contracts. Like on Tuesday night after that meeting, I understand there were something like 10 contracts that Veronica hadn't signed that Flint signed immediately.
Okay.
After that.
Okay.
The other thing, the call on what to do next, I think our comments to state board members, the call is absolutely right. We shouldn't send them just to state board members.
Mm-hmm.
Send copies to our local politicians. Send copies
right.
to your state rep, to your state city alderman, to your state senate. Send copies so they hear too.
There you go.
We've gotten their attention at that meeting last night.
There you go.
Let's
absolutely.
Keep their attention.
Absolutely. And the other piece of it is we need people that are willing to go up to Jefferson City every week. You know, that would be nice if we can have a group going up every single day. 15 days starting tomorrow?
Yeah.
And I don't know how many days that is of time that Jeff City is open. But if we had a groups going up
every single day for 15 days until this meeting, and then having another busload of people going up on the 15th, that would be a very, very powerful thing. So how about this? Anybody that would be interested in being part of a group, the 15-day plan of getting up, of going up to Jefferson City every single day until, I mean, not the same people don't have to go up every day. We
right,
have different
right.
shifts
different
of people.
But there are people there every day that they're in a session.
Absolutely. What do you think of that?
I think that'd be a great idea.
You know, and I think that even your school board members, each one of you could take a day during that time to go up with a group of people so that we have a constant presence in Jefferson City saying, no, we don't want our votes nullified. And then people planning on it right now. The 15th of February is the day of the hearing.
Yes, that's a Thursday.
Plan on taking off and going up to Jefferson City to show your opposition to this.
Yes.
Because that's something that we could do. And if you can't go to Jefferson City, write a letter. And if you can write a letter, go down to your Board of Aldermen. There should be about maybe three Fridays worth of Board of Aldermen meetings that you all could be going down to the Board of Aldermen, buttonholing the alder people about why you're in opposition to this and what they're going to do about it. And buttonholing Shrewsbury. You know, maybe we need a phone call thing going to Shrewsbury about what's your position on this. You're missing an action on this. And get them to say, I support this. Because you do. In law, I learned silence is acceptance. And if you're silent on this, you must be accepting of it.
Yeah, that's certainly what Jackson and others were saying.
There you go. But they were lying about the silence. Peter, congratulations. It was a wonderful show. It was a wonderful turnout. It was empowering, but we still have more work to do.
A lot more work.
Okay, Peter Downs, thank you so much. I'll be back, folks. Be back with Code Pink. Stay with me.
That all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. There's a major break in an alleged British terror plot. 8 suspects are under arrest. Authorities say they may have been stopped in the nick of time.
This is chilling if true. So far, the police will say only that this alleged plot was like nothing ever seen before here in the UK. The Ministry of Defense will neither confirm nor deny reports that the target of what sources say was a kidnap plot was a British Muslim soldier who'd served in Afghanistan. While the alleged plot wouldn't have resulted in mass casualties like the 7/7 bombings targeting mass transit, the psychological impact and propaganda value would have been tremendous.
ABC's Linda Albin in London. Do you know how much money is being spent to rebuild Iraq and what it's being used for? A report out this week says tens of millions went to things toward like a swimming pool for police recruits. That caught some government officials by surprise.
The report comes as President Bush presses Congress to approve more than $1 billion in new reconstruction aid. The latest quarterly audit reports tens of millions of dollars in such aid has been squandered. The Special Inspector General says U.S. officials can't account for more than $36 million worth of weapons, vehicles, and communications equipment.
ABC Stephen Portnoy in Washington. President Bush spends a second day pushing his economic policies with a visit to Wall Street.
In the heart of Wall Street, President Bush will speak at Federal Hall, the historic site where the young American government first convened, where George Washington took the oath of office as president.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Add another Democrat to the 2008 presidential race. Delaware Senator Joe Biden is in, but he says he's not just forming an exploratory committee like some other hopefuls. He says he's really, really in the race. You're a step closer to getting a raise if you make minimum wage. Congress is expected today to give final approval to a bill that would increase it by $2.10 over the next few years. President Bush has indicated that he'll sign it. This is ABC News.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, get up to a $90 cash rebate with purchase of Continental or General tires. That's right, up to $90 cash back. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service only at your dealership.
I got two strong tires.
better. We're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
Sam's Club has everything you need for your next football party. From Tostitos to Little Smokies to furniture taken straight from John Elway's house.
You mean my furniture line?
Yes, they'll be lining up at Sam's Club for party items like Pace Chunky Salsa and John Elway's couch.
Not my sofa, my casual living collection.
Well, I can't cancel the movers now.
Movers?
Sam's Club, when only the greatest party of all time will do. 10% service fee applies to non-member purchases. Elway furniture available at samsclub.com.
For some people, the commercials that air during the Super Bowl are as entertaining as the big game itself. But this year, you might notice a difference in some of the ads. Here's ABC News national correspondent, Jim Mickey.
Hey, Feller, give me a Bud Light.
Every year, professional advertisers pay millions of dollars to produce TV ads for the Super Bowl. This year, welcome to Amateur Hour.
Set up. You got five guys sitting on the couch.
Gino Bono, a graduate student in Maine, won an NFL contest to produce a commercial for the game. A 22-year-old from North Carolina won the Doritos You Make It commercial contest. They may be creative. They are not big budget. The Doritos ad, say the winners, cost less than $13 to make. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
You ever wonder how safe your food might be? The government says most of us could use a refresher course when it comes to handling what we eat. Wash your fruits and vegetables. Use a salad spinner to clean greens. But here's a new one. Don't wash red meat. Just cook it well done. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Burns-Meyer with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, a toddler is dead after an accident with a gun. 2-year-old Timberland Terrell died early yesterday morning, a day after she was shot at an apartment complex in Menace. Police believe a man left a gun on a table and another young child picked it up, accidentally shooting Terrell in the head. Illinois police found the owner of the gun and questioned him yesterday. No charges have been filed. A new Mississippi River bridge may soon be out of reach. That's according to a report from a panel of national transportation experts to be released today. The report said that Illinois and Missouri must agree on how to pay for more lanes between St. Louis and the Metro East area. Otherwise, they will lose the $239 million set aside by Congress for the new bridge. The report does not offer a solution to the impasse, nor does it endorse one state's funding approach over the others. Finally this hour, Pierre-Marc Bouchard snapped a third-period tie to help the Minnesota Wild beat the Blues 5-2 last night in St. Louis. Bouchard scored 2 goals in a game for the 4th time this season, including the only goal of the first period. Pavel Dimitra also scored twice to help the Wild win for the 5th time in 6 road games. Eric Brewer and Jay McClellan scored for the Note, who lost 2 in a row for the first time since mid-December. The Blues returned to action on Friday in Detroit against the Red Wings. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. Eastbound 44 at Vandeventer and Grand, look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident that's been cleared. That's at Grand. Eastbound 40 between 270 and 170, look for stall cleared around Lindbergh, so you expect stop-and-go traffic. There's an accident on Highway 94 South at Kiska Road. Eastbound 270 from McDonald through Lindbergh, look for an accident. 2 lanes are blocked just past Lindbergh. It's 2 right lanes, so there's stop-and-go traffic there. Eastbound 270 at Lindbergh through 170, look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident, and that's reported west or south of 170. Southbound 270 between Gravoy and Tesson Ferry, there's an accident. Left lane's blocked. It's on the ramp to Tesson Ferry, left lane, and it's you can expect slow traffic there. Southbound 270 from 70 to Dorset, look for slow traffic due to an earlier stall on Dorset.
Northbound 270 from Grabway through Big Bend, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, it is slow go there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to the 270 interchange, look for some delays. Westbound 5570 up to the 64 to Poplar Street Bridge, look for a slowdown there. Westbound Kingbridge from the Gravel Pit into Laclede's Landing is slow, and northbound Route 3 on the Poplar Street Bridge, expect some delays this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly cloudy, scattered flurries today with a high in the lower 30s. For this evening, occasional snow showers, low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of snow and flurries with a high in the mid-30s. Chance of snow on Thursday is 40%. Snow flurries will continue Thursday evening with a low in the mid-20s. And on Friday, 40% chance of snow late in the day, high in the mid-30s. Currently, we've got 9 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 9. The wind chill makes it feel like it's plus 1. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say? Give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's the long-distance number. Don't forget, the wake-up call is archived every day at whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, please go get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. Get up, get up, get to me. We've heard the stories. Hundreds of thousands of people went to Washington, D.C. to protest. to stand strong against this wicked, wicked, wicked war. And it is so interesting that now that we've had this change in majority in the United States Congress and the United States Senate, that now we are starting to hear some elected officials be a little bit more forceful, to be a little bit more, to take their, dip their tepid, timid political toe into the water of public opinion that is Iraq. And I don't know if anybody that has a more calculating toe-dipping going on than Hillary Clinton. Protest in the nation's capital say no to war. It's not about the surge. They weren't there because of the surge. They were there in opposition to this occupation. Hillary Clinton was in Washington, D.C. when this happened. Hillary Clinton should have a position about Iraq, because Hillary Clinton wants to be president of the United States, even though she, again, in a calculated way, said, I'm forming an exploratory committee for something that I've been running for 7 years. Okay. Okay. I get it. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about Hillary Clinton. We need to talk about the Iraq War. We need to talk about her position on it. And we need to talk about her response to others who are in opposition to this war. Well, we're going to be talking about that. In this hour, we're going to be talking with a member of Code Pink, because six women were arrested at Hillary's office yesterday. Vote for me, right? Vote for me. Oh, we'll be back. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be talking to Code Pink about Hillary Clinton. Stay with me.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call. Wake-up call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and this hour I'm having a conversation with an organizer with Code Pink, Dana Balicki. She is joining us from Washington, D.C. Dana, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
doing all right. My voice is a little...
You're a little tired?
From chanting so much yesterday, so forgive me if I'm...
That's okay, and I think you were up late last night trying to get some folks out of jail, too, right?
Yeah, doing a little jail support, yes, definitely, but all our six girls are home.
Well, let's back up to the beginning of this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You are a member of Code Pink. What is Code Pink?
Well, Code Pink, Code Pink is really a phenomenon, is how I feel about it. It's a women-initiated, women-led grassroots peace organization that focuses on creative, radical actions to really bring peace to our country and to other countries around the world, and to really engage and inspire women to take peace on in their own communities.
And it was born out as a result of the occupation of Iraq?
It was actually a little bit before that. What we had going was about 4 months before the beginning of the invasion, there were a bunch of women like, Medea Benjamin and Jody Evans, Nina Utney, Alice Walker, Diane Wilson, Starhawk, kind of sit all together in Washington, D.C., for a conference, and sitting around and just actually basically laughing over how ridiculous the idea of color-coded terror alerts were, code red, code orange, and decided that, it's time. It's time as women to step up. It's time to connect, and it's time to be Code Pink. It's time to be called Code Pink for Peace, and to really pull together women of all ages, of all backgrounds, to stand together and demand peace, and to demand peace in Iraq.
So because this is about women, and because this is about women in peace, was there a plan or an objective to try to focus on women members of the legislature to get them to stand with you? Was that part of your agenda and plan?
Well, I think that's always part of our agenda, but at the same time that we don't necessarily, discriminate gender-wise, we don't discriminate party-wise, a representative is a representative, and we would love, for any representative to stand up, and if it's a woman, we're that much more.
Well, surely Hillary Clinton, when you first started this, and first started talking to legislators, surely you thought that Hillary Clinton would be almost a natural fit.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Liz?
I said, surely, because this is a women's organization and because it's women about peace, you kind of thought that maybe when you went to Hillary Clinton that it might be a natural fit.
Oh, heck yes. I wish, Liz, I wish that were the case.
What happened the first time that you all went to talk to Hillary Clinton about peace?
Well, the first time, and actually you can see it on YouTube, because we were just watching it again, we went to our office, and this was, I actually wasn't there at the time, but Medea Benjamin and Jody Evans and then Gail Murphy, the three co-founders, along with a whole slew of other amazing women, all in pink, probably about 50 or so women, got an appointment with her. And they went in and asked her, Medea, I think, stated the case very well when she said, we're mothers, we're daughters, we're grandmothers, and we want peace, and we want peace with the Iraqi people, and we do not want an invasion into Iraq, and we really want you, Hillary, just as a woman and as a mother, to stand up against this, this violence, and please say no. And this was actually already after the vote that, Hillary had supported Bush's policy to invade. And, she ended up saying, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. And I respectfully disagree. And we ended up taking our pink slips off and handing them to her instead of giving her the pink badge of courage that we so desperately wanted to give to her.
And you then began tracking what Hillary Clinton's position and statements and take on the war has been.
Oh yeah, we've been watching her. we've been hot on her trail ever since, because really, You know, I think a lot of us for a long time, and I don't think it takes being an activist or even being a woman to know that she really does have ambitions, and we see it now in the past month or so as she's announced her candidacy, but we could see it then, and we could also see her power, and we're really hoping that she would, you know, use it for good concerning this, you know, the Iraq war issue.
And Dana, with respect to Hillary's specific response to you all, to Code Pink the first time around, was she clear about her support of the Iraq war? Did she articulate the reasons why she was supporting the occupation of Iraq?
She did. She did. And she doesn't necessarily use those reasons anymore because they've been debunked and everyone knows it.
But she did say those things.
Oh, she did. Absolutely. She definitely, you know, said that she felt that Saddam Hussein was a threat, you know, was cultivating WMDs and, you know, the whole litany of what we now know were lies and based on false information. And she said that she would never, once we handed her the pink slip, Jody Evans pulled it off her body and said, "I'm sorry, I wish I didn't have to give this to you, but, you know, if you're gonna sacrifice the lives of, you know, tens of thousands, which now we've known in hundreds of thousands of Iraqi people and tens of thousands of troops, you know, we're gonna give you this, you know, I have to give you this pink slip." And, you know, she said, "I will never compromise the security of my people in New York as a senator." And there were a lot of New Yorkers in the audience, and they, you know, you just hear a whole slew of "you are," because we knew that this war of aggression is not making anybody safer. It's not. It's really not cultivating any kind of security. And unfortunately, we all know this.
And so she said it was a matter of security for her citizens in the state of New York. How has Hillary's position on the Iraq war, how did it continue after that? Do we see, is she different today than she was then? And if so, how so?
I would say not, you know. You can nitpick through her, you know, through her whole voting record, and you can see, oh, well, you know, voted for this here, and oh, there's a little amendment tacked on to a supplemental here that looks good. But all in all, Liz, it's really been very disappointing. She's continued to support every supplemental. You know, she's, one of our slogans yesterday was Hillary had never met a supplemental she didn't like.
Because she supported all of the supplementals to keep the war going.
Oh, yes, and we're pretty sure that she's going to vote to support the supplemental coming up in March. And, you know, she definitely uses the excuse, and, I don't want to call it an excuse, but her reasoning, and from our end, sometimes it feels like an excuse for certain, is that she wants to support the troops. And, you know, we hear that a lot, especially a lot from the, you know, the Democratic representatives and senators. It's, you know, they feel like they're not, that they're going to be going against the troops if they don't continue to fund. And what we really see is just total unbalance when you have the Democratic Party is going to lose credibility and Hillary is going to be leading the pack with folks, you know, saying that we don't want this war, we don't agree with Bush's policy, but we're going to continue funding because the funding issue is what's keeping this going. If you can cut the funding, and there are many ways in which people have proposed to do this in a way that wouldn't hurt the troops, wouldn't hurt the American troops, then it's possible, and Hillary has not accepted that or even really spoke to that at all.
And you used the word calculating in a number of times during our conversation. Calculating is a word that seems to have stuck to some folks' assessment of Hillary Clinton and her political positions. Do you feel that? Or do you see that?
I do see that, and we see that every time she's asked about the war issue. You know, she's very careful, really, like not to lie. You know what I'm saying? She's careful about, you know, she's calculating about what she supports and doesn't support, and you know, we were, you know, doing a lot of, you know, we try and do as much research as we can, and, you know, we have our voting record posted online at listenhillary.org. And, you know, you can look through it and kind of see where she, you know, starts to, like, put a little bit of support here and there, and there'll be, you know, like I said, amendments tacked on that she said, well, I did support this, you know, I did support the Levin Reed Amendment, but the Levin Reed Amendment, which said, you know, basically, like, no permanent presence, was tacked on to a huge supplemental. You know, so it was just like one little piece of a big chunk of money being sent over to multinational corporations to do reconstruction in Iraq.
Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. This hour I'm talking to Dana Balicki. She's an organizer with Code Pink. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about, amongst other things, listenhillary.org, about Hillary Clinton and her position on the war, and about an action that took place in Hillary Clinton's office yesterday. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us. We'll be back with more of this conversation right after this.
Morning, St. Louis. Let's take a look at your traffic. It's 28 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and your weather. A lot of things going on. Westbound 40 at Hampton and McKnight. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an earlier accident. Southbound 94 Kisker, look for an accident there. Eastbound 70 between 370 and Cave Springs, there's disabled vehicles, so use caution. That's on the ramp to Cave Springs via, so look for some slowdown there as well. Highway 94 South at Kisker Road, there's a report of an accident. Eastbound 40 between Winghaven and Route K, look for an accident west of Highway K that's blocking a traffic lane. Eastbound 70 from 370 through Cave Springs, disabled vehicle. Already told you about that. Eastbound 44 from Vandeventer through Grand, look for that accident cleared at Grand, but you expect stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from Florissant through Lucas and Hunt, look for an accident near Lucas and Hunt and another near Union. So there's a lot going on. Please pay attention. Eastbound 270 from 70 through Lindbergh, look for some delay due to an accident that's been cleared just past Lindbergh. Westbound 40 from Vandeventer through Shoto, look for a disabled vehicle blocking the ramp to Boyle. Eastbound 44 at 270, there's some delays there. Northbound 270 between Gravoy and 44, look for delays around the 44 interchange. And westbound 270 from New Florissant into Lindbergh, look for some delays there as well. 5570 into the Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic's easing, as well as Route 3. You can expect no problems on that ramp rolling into the Poplar Street Bridge. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Partly cloudy, scattered flurries today, high in the lower 30s this evening. Occasional snow showers, low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of showers, snow showers, that is, and flurries with a high in the mid-30s. And then on Friday, snow flurries will be possible in the afternoon with a high in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 11 degrees. Wind chill makes it feel like it's zero. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
finds you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I am talking to Dana Balicki. She is an organizer with Code Pink. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about Hillary Clinton and Code Pink. Dana, talk to us about the action that took place. Was it yesterday?
Yes, yes it was. We've been in town, Code Pink and hundreds of other nonprofit and, you know, peace-minded anti-war organizations came to march on Congress on the 27th, last Saturday. And then Monday we had a big lobby day where, I mean, Code Pink by itself was had representatives from 39 states to meet with their congressional reps and senators and really ask them to defund the war, among other domestic issues. And yesterday, we really thought, you know what, we can't leave D.C. without doing something with Hillary. And she'd actually left town by that point, so we knew she wasn't going to be in her office, and it wasn't really our point. You know, we've had meetings with her before. We know where she stands. The point was, to go in and let her know and make a showing. That there are women, especially young women, who she says that, you know, she really is kind of her target audience, that they want to vote for a woman for president. We all want to vote for a woman for president, but we don't want to vote for a woman for president who doesn't value peace and justice and democracy and not unilateralism. And so we went in and we really decided to highlight her, you know, her web of war. So all of these, you know, things that she has, you know, kind of, you know, Liz kind of talking about this whole her calculated decisions that, you know, she's supported one thing here but not here, and how her voting record doesn't really match what she's going around the country now saying. And so we brought in spools of pink yarn and ribbons, and we went in with signs that said, you know, Hillary, be a woman for peace, you know, be the candidate we want, and no more funding for war. And we went into her office and wove a web, literally, of her web of war, and just threw these ribbons and yarn around, and everyone was getting tangled in it, and then we got escorted out. There's no cameras allowed in the offices, and all the, you know, there was media there covering it, and they kicked us out, and then we were out in front of the office, and people walking through were getting caught in this web, and the police were getting caught in it, and there were four young women, and then under the age of 26, and then two older women in their 50s that got woven together and refused to unweave themselves, literally, and refused to leave, so they were all arrested.
And when you were doing this, when you were weaving this pink web to represent the issues that we have with Hillary, what was the response of people that were coming through or coming by, or who was coming through and who was coming by?
Well, at that point, you know, since lobby day was over, it wasn't like there was a hall full of people, but there were people, you know, who obviously worked in the Russell Building, that were trying to walk through and getting kind of caught up in this. And, you know, a lot of times, especially when you do actions in Congress, we get people kind of looking at us like, what are you crazy pink ladies doing? And then they kind of take a second look and see what our message is. And so I think, you know, we even get a good response from the cops. I mean, they want us to leave. You know, they're doing their job, and we respect that. But a lot of times we get tons of support, even from, you know, the Capitol Police or, you know, whatever branch.
How did they treat you? How did the police treat you?
You know, I mean, they're forceful. They're forceful, but they gave us, they give you warnings. We know what we're doing. You know, most of us, when we're going in, we know we have a certain amount of warnings. We know we have a certain amount of time. We definitely always, Code Pink pushes the envelope. And so we definitely, you know, we're there for as much as we can. We get out as much of our message as possible. You know, and they were kind of pushing us along, and I don't think any, you know, I didn't hear anything from my girls that they got roughed up or anything like that. It's definitely, there's been situations in the past, but they were very, you know, polite yet firm at pushing us out the door and getting us out of the building, and then they start to lose their patience a little bit after a little while of trying to, you know, us chanting the whole way down the hall and down the hatch.
So there were six people arrested, six women arrested.
Mm-hmm.
What were they charged with?
Disorderly conduct.
Disorderly conduct. And did that stem from being in Hillary's office weaving the web, or did it stem from being outside? Which part was the disorderly conduct? What were they talking about, the disorderly conduct?
I think that it was part of it stemmed from kind of disrupting business as usual. We were blocking the hallways with this web and, you know, with our bodies and chanting, and they refused, you know, we were asked to leave the building and they refused. So, you know, I think that was the disorderliness that they were charged with.
So what are the ramifications of a disorderly conduct charge? Is that a misdemeanor? Is it a fine? How does that work?
It is a misdemeanor, and I'm actually not quite sure just yet if they're going to have to come back and appear for a court date. So I haven't spoken with our lawyer yet.
What does it take to bail somebody out?
It took about $35.
$35 per person?
Yes.
Okay. Did the women that were part of Code Pink, the ones that got arrested, was that did they know that was going to be part of it, or that could be part of it? Are you all clear on that?
We prepared, yes. We asked people, you know, the night before, you know, who's willing to risk arrest. And, you know, we had the four young women and then an older woman from California, and she, you know, they all said, yes, we're going to do this together. And it was a great representation of especially Hillary's constituency that she's effectively ignoring. And at the last minute, another woman just kind of jumped on in there. So as our girls were in the paddy wagon, they managed to still have a cell phone and text me her information so we could just contact anyone we needed to. So, you know, we definitely take care of each other and we prepare each other. And anyone who doesn't want to do anything doesn't have to.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Alfred, do you have a question for my guest, Dana Balicki? Alfred? Huh, he must have disappeared here.
Good, because I was going to say I couldn't hear him.
1-877-920-WGNU. And Dana, have you been arrested before?
Yes, I have.
And what were you arrested for?
I was arrested in front of the White House in the end of September 2005. Yes, this was a mass civil disobedience, and everyone, you know, I mean, it had been planned for some time, and there were about 379 of us, I believe. So we were all arrested together, including Cindy Sheehan and her sister Dee Dee.
All right, let me get back to some other callers here. Alfred, question for Dana.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I would like to know how many high-ranking Republicans have she performed in their office like she performed in Hillary's office.
Do you feel like she's that why do you ask that question?
Because I think, to me, she seemed like she's being supported by Republicans and trying to downplay Hillary.
Okay.
That's to me. And ask why did she pick on Hillary?
Okay, picking on Hillary. Thank you, Alfred.
And how many high-ranking Republicans have she performed with like that?
Got it.
Oh, I you know, I gotta say, Alfred, more than I could count on both hands and feet and then some. You know, we've done a lot of work. You know, we don't discriminate, like I said earlier, we don't discriminate parties. We're not Republicans and we're not Democrats. We're concerned citizens. We're concerned women. So we've done our share for certain. You can actually look on our website, codepinkalert.org, and see our past action history. We've disrupted everyone from, you know, Negroponte up to George Bush himself and Dick Cheney, and I myself, and, you know, have definitely got on Rumsfeld's case personally. So we definitely you know, play both sides.
And I have to say this as a woman of African descent, I believe that we should all be exposing everybody. However, when it is a person of African descent and they are doing something that I see as and I understand as and I believe is contrary to the hurtful to our community, there's a special energy that I put into it, mm-hmm. because it's like, you know, we are the same place, and I have expectations. And so while I'm going to go after everybody else, but I would have to say that there's a certain energy that I go after folks that are African-American that are not doing right by the African community. You think there's a little bit of that in the Hillary piece of it? Because this is a woman's group, that at least that you feel that, gosh, you should be doing something different than you are because you're a mother. You know, you are a daughter, and you should be for peace.
Absolutely. That's absolutely is one of the reasons why, you know, why our Hillary campaign and why people respond to it so well. It's women holding women accountable. It's women holding their leaders accountable. You know, I mean, there's no denying, and there's no denying, you know, where Hillary wants to go. And we would love to see her go there if she supported the defunding of the war and if she supported the values of peace like the majority of Americans want today.
Mike, you have a question for Dana Baliki.
I'm hearing interviews from the troops saying that to not support them is saying they're not supporting the war. And they saying that if you don't support what they're doing, then you're not supporting us, so they're frustrated. So I don't understand that part.
Okay, thank you, Mike. And is that, Dana, a politically crafted argument, or is that legitimate?
Well, I think, you know, you could find legitimacy somewhere in there, depending on who you talk to. I mean, I had a friend I went to high school with. He believed in his heart of hearts that what he was doing is bringing democracy to the Iraqi people, and if we weren't supporting him, you know, it's kind of that. But it's that whole thing. If you're not with us, you're against us. And really, I feel that's just a play. You know, that this is a game, and really, what you know, we're supporting the troops, and we by bringing them home and by supporting them when they get here.
We're going to continue this conversation with Dana Baliki. She's an organizer with Code Pink. Code Pink, six women were arrested for protesting, weaving a web, if you will, in front of Hillary's office yesterday. We'll be back to take some more of your calls and to continue our conversation. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else, where else, where else? Indeed, washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Come on down to Sears. It's right here in the city of St. Louis. You need a dishwasher? You need a treadmill? You need a television set? You need some tools? You need some tractors? You need, what do you need? They've got it. And you get the trifecta of shopping experience. That's right. Great prices, great location, and great service. Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge and tell them I told you to.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify.
At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Talk to me while I'm listening now. All this love has a voice that we're holding.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Dana Balicki. She's an organizer with Code Pink. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about peace. We're talking about women. We're talking about politics. We're talking about Iraq. Let's get to some more of our callers here. Kip, you have a question for Dana.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to know, where do you get your funding from? And also, what is your occupation? If this is your full-time job and most of your members, what are their backgrounds, and do you have any stories that you might be able to share with us to give us an insight on how politics work? Are there any type of movements to stop you from talking, any type of promises that have been made to keep you from continuing with your efforts?
Thank you, Kip.
Thank you.
Sure. Funny, lately, as I always said, whenever we kind of have a media hit, meaning like any time a story or an action that we do kind of hits the media, we always get asked a lot about our funding. So I can tell you, we get a lot, you know, we apply for grants like any other nonprofit, and we get money that way, and some of them are bigger, some of them are small, you know, project-based grants. We also get donations from we have a website, CodePinkAlert.org, where we have about 200,000 people that receive our emails every week. And so we get money through donations that way. We get, you know, we'll have private donations where they'll donate, you know, bigger, larger amounts. We also have an online store, you know, and so things like, you know, we'll solicit money, you know, donations for various projects. And, you know, we have a very small budget for the amount of work that we do. And I've been working for Code Pink now for nearly about 2.5 years, you know, full-time and part-times. But part-time is generally about 40 hours a week, and full-time is about 60. So this is my job. This is, you know, a lot of times I feel like this is my life, and I can't imagine doing anything else.
And before we get to some stories that you may have to share with us, I think it's interesting. I think it's an important question to ask, and I think it's a question that people need to be asking about Hillary and others as well, because I don't think a lot of people know that Hillary Clinton made a lot of her money working for Walmart. You know, as an attorney working for Walmart. I mean, as an attorney working for Walmart, Hillary Clinton received 60% of her income. Working for Walmart.
I think that's a great point, Liz. You know, and often, like I said, we get a lot of questions about where our funding is, or we get questions about where Cindy Sheehan gets her funding. And really, I think, you know, that question is not nearly as important as where, you know, our leaders have gotten their money. Like, where is Dick Cheney getting all his money, and where did George Bush get his money from? You know, I mean, those are the questions we need to be asking, because we need to, you know, we can always hold each other as citizens accountable, but we need to hold our leaders accountable.
Well, people that have been elected into office, surely, since we're paying their salary. I'm not paying your salary, you know, but we definitely are paying their salary, so we should focus. I think it's fair to ask everybody, who's funding you? Okay, because if you were being funded by radical right-wing folks, then I'm going to assess it a little bit different. I think it's a fair question, but I think that it is doubly important, triply important to ask where they're getting their money and hold them accountable and act accordingly based on that.
Absolutely.
1-877-920-WGNU. Let me get to a couple more calls here. Rob, you have a question for Dana.
Good morning, Liz, and first off, congratulations on your success last night.
Wasn't it wonderful? 1,200 people showed up for, with 1 week's worth of notice at a school board meeting.
I showed up, but I couldn't find parking, and where I would have had to park was so far away, and I figured if you had that many people, I, my little old body couldn't make much of a difference.
But thanks for trying, Rob.
But anyways, I've missed her name, I think maybe Dana.
Dana Maliki, yes.
I'm curious if there's any orchestrated effort towards pointing out that the war is one aim, but you have to go after the money that's funding everything. Mm-hmm. And until and as long as there's profits to be made in war, we're going to be in endless war. Mm-hmm. And the people that, you know, corporations that are making the money, they're the ones that are funding these politicians, whether it's legally or illegally, whether it's favors or anything. Is there any kind of effort to bring that out to the average person? Because all you have to do is look.
Choke the money off. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. So first of all, Rob, I'd love to say that every person makes a difference. So your little body, I'm sure, would have been greatly appreciated no matter where you were. Secondly, we're not just talking about cutting the funding, you know, through Congress for the war. It's definitely, that funding, it's important to keep track of where that funding is going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to multinational corporations like Bechtel, like Halliburton, KBR, all of these corporations that, you know, all of a sudden last year, don't quote me on the exact amount, but, you know, misplaced, you know, what, $3 million and couldn't find where this, you know, where this one cash surplus had gone to. And it's like we're not holding these corporations accountable, and they know it. And so part of what Code Pink has been saying, what a lot of others like United for Peace and Justice, a ton of other organizations have been saying is, you know, what's really important is if, you know, this money, all of this money we see being funneled into Iraq and Afghanistan, but especially in Iraq, it's give the money to the Iraqi contractors. You know, they're capable people. Sometimes I feel like we act as if they're starting, I mean, they aren't really starting from scratch at this point, but they're very well-educated people. Some of the...
Well, that's the racist, colonialistic assessment that comes.
Absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
That they don't know what to do with the money, but Halliburton does.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, you know, we as Americans have just kind of gotten used to saying, like, yes, yes, okay. You know, I've heard it a lot of times, even from family members who think that we could do a better job. And why do we think that we could do a better job than the Iraqi people in their own country? How would we feel, you know, if the tables were turned? We wouldn't be standing for it. And I don't think, and the Iraqi people aren't either. And that's why I think we see, you know, the insurgency working the way that it is.
And one of the things is, speaking of the issues that Code Pink ties together and addresses, you also interrupted the foreign relations nomination hearing for John Negroponte.
Yes, we did.
And why did you? Why were you there at his nomination here?
After we were done with the Hillary action and our girls were being, bussed off in a paddy wagon, there's so many hearings, and we've all been in D.C., and you know what? Code Pink, we don't waste a second. You know, we're there. We're here for business and the business of peace. And so we went to different committee hearings, and, you know, since Code Pink has started, we've definitely made it a policy to, you know, make sure that the people's voice are heard in these committees as well. So we've done plenty of interruptions, and they're not always meant to be completely disruptive, but it is. Sometimes we stand up and give the peace sign. Yesterday in that committee hearing, in this nomination hearing for John Negroponte as Deputy Secretary of State, I'm not sure which committee member, but someone called him a breath of fresh air.
How frightening and chilling was that?
Right? Exactly. And so Jody Evans and Medea Benjamin were in there with a few other women, and Jody and Medea stood up and said, "Are you kidding? You know, this is not a man of peace. This is not a man, you know, with the history that he has, the death squads in Honduras and then some. This is not the man that we want representing the American people in the international community. This is not right." And they were escorted, they were detained for a while.
let me get to another caller or two here. Johnson, you have a question for Dana Balicki.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to ask you, good morning.
Good morning.
When we get ready to go to the polls and the votes of people, are we to trust her or not?
Hillary Clinton? You're
yes.
talking about Hillary Clinton?
Yes, ma'am.
When we get ready to go to the polls, and it seems like it's just around the corner, because it is 2008, should we trust Hillary Clinton based upon what we know about her now?
What I would say, and actually another Code Pinker, Ray Abelia, she was on Hannity and Combs last night, and they asked her kind of the same thing. You know, what would you do if you had to vote for Hillary tomorrow kind of thing? And it's like, you know what, if it was between Hillary and McCain, it's like, you know, my perspective and my guess is that, and I hope I'm not totally wrong, is that there's going to be a wider decision to be made, and there'll be other candidates. And right now, as Hillary stands, there's no way I would vote for her. There's no way, and I would love to, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks all of our hearts that we feel this way.
And that she's earned it.
Mm-hmm. And she keeps on earning it, you know. I mean, she's very, very good, back to this calculating thing, she's very good at saying, you know, gosh, man, you have done a bad job, you know, managing this war, but never says, you know, I went along with you, and I am so sorry that I made these mistakes, you know. So it's I wish I could support her. I wish I could trust her. I wish I could vote for her, but today I can't.
Dana Balicki, organizer with Code Pink. Give us your website.
It's www.codepinkalert.org.
And listenhillary.org?
Yep, you got it.
All right, Dana, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
All right, take care now.
Take care. Peace.
Peace. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back after this break. Stay with me.
Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush is on the road again today. He's pushing his economic policies, and the stop today is Wall Street. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
In the heart of New York's financial district, President Bush has got a mini State of the Union address.
I'm going to submit a budget for Congress to look at that shows how we can balance the budget in 5 years and keep your taxes low.
That budget comes next week. The president is also willing to sign into law the minimum wage increase the Senate is voting on. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The Senate Judiciary Committee hears today from two members of the Iraq Study Group. They blame the botched U.S. training, they say, for corrupt courts and poor policing in Iraq. The field of Democratic presidential contenders is getting a little more crowded. Today, Delaware Senator Joseph Biden got into the race. He says he's not just forming an exploratory committee, he says he's really in. If you've had a winter cold, you've probably noticed that over-the-counter remedies don't pack the punch they once did. That's because they don't contain pseudoephedrine anymore. In large quantities, it can be used to make meth.
The pseudoephedrine products are still available, absolutely. They're just behind the counter. So you got
got to go through a few hoops. You got to talk to the pharmacist. You got to show an ID. You got to sign a log, but you can get it.
ABC News medical editor Dr. Tim Johnson. The governor of West Virginia has met privately with the families of the four people killed and five hurt in yesterday's explosion at a gas station in the town of Ghent. Authorities say it was sparked by a leaky propane tank, and it might have you wondering, how safe are you at the pump?
Americans fill up 12 billion times a year, and most of them go without incident, but still, that's a lot of opportunity for danger, and there are a few interesting tips of things you can do to stay safe. One of them is this. When you get out of your car, make sure you touch something to get rid of any static charge that might be on your body. You can touch the roof of your car. Just make sure to touch something before you fill up.
That's ABC's John Berman. ABC News Money Scope, Dow up 11 points, NASDAQ off 12. This is ABC News.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, get up to a $90 cash rebate with purchase of Continental or General tires. That's right, up to $90 cash back. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 38807.
Sam's Club has everything you need for your next football party. From Tostitos to Little Smokies to furniture taken straight from John Elway's house.
You mean my furniture line?
Yes, they'll be lining up at Sam's Club for party items like Pace Chunky Salsa and John Elway's couch.
Not my sofa, my casual living collection.
Well, I can't cancel the movers now.
Movers?
Sam's Club, when only the greatest party of all time will do. 10% service fee applies to non-member purchases. Elway furniture available at samsclub.com.
Is that really Harry Potter? Well, it's the actor who plays him as you've never seen him before. Here's ABC's Nick Watt.
The wizard with the bowl cut used to be a safe crush for the tweens, asexual, unthreatening. Now he's taking all his clothes off for the controversial play Equus. He's buff, and yes, he has chest hair. There have been some lustful postings on the 17-year-old actor's website, but, says Michelle Kung of Entertainment Weekly, this had to happen.
The Harry Potter series is not going to last forever. The last book is coming out this summer, and so he needs to prepare for himself to be seen as an actor and not just as this one character.
Parents of Potter fans could face an awkward moment explaining to kids why they can't go see their hero in the flesh. Because, well, there's just too much flesh. Nick Watt, ABC News, London.
You might want to pack your kids' lunch after hearing this. A new study says the nation's school cafeterias are for the most part filthy. Roaches and rodents not uncommon. The worst offenders are at schools in Washington, D.C., and Hartford, Connecticut. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Barangemeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, a local man is suing police over a beating that took place after a high-speed chase. Edmund Burns filed a lawsuit yesterday, claiming Maplewood and St. Louis police violated his civil rights in the incident last year. The 34-year-old Burns says that he fled from the police that day out of fear. The suit claims excessive use of force, improper supervision of officers, and violation of due process. He is seeking damages of more than $75,000. Plus punitive damages and attorney's fees. A school bus overturned yesterday morning in Jefferson County. Investigators say the driver of a passenger car crossed over into the lane of the oncoming bus. The impact flipped the bus and sent it partially down an embankment. The bus driver and some students suffered minor injuries, but no major injuries were reported. Authorities say they are seeking careless driving and felony drug charges against the driver of the car. Finally this hour, pitcher Jeff Weaver was announced as the newest member of the Seattle Mariners yesterday. The Mariners signed Weaver to a one-year, $8.3 million contract plus incentives. Weaver split the 2006 season with the Angels and the St. Louis Cardinals and was the only Redbirds pitcher to win a game in each of the three playoff rounds last October, including the World Series clincher. Weaver's agent Scott Boras claims the Cardinals did not make a competitive bid for his client. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. Southbound 270 Ladue and 64 or 40 look for on the right shoulder. a 6 case in a vehicle at Highway 40, so there may be some delays around that area. Eastbound 270 between 370 and Lindbergh, look for an accident's been cleared, so you can expect some slow traffic there. Eastbound 64 between Winghaven and Highway K, that's Highway 40 between Winghaven and Highway K, look for an accident's cleared, that's just west of K. Southbound Illinois 3 at Gloria, there's a report of water main work there. Westbound 5570 on the Poplar Street Bridge is looking good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well. Northbound Route 3 is moving well onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Northbound 270 at 44, that interchange is clearing up at this hour. Eastbound 70 from Earth City Expressway through 270 looks good. And northbound 270 from the Highway 70 interchange, look for some delays still in the right lane as people are trying to head off to work. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Partly cloudy, scattered flurries, high in the lower 30s this evening, occasional snow showers, low in the mid-20s. Thursday, mostly cloudy, another chance for snow showers, high in the mid-30s. Thursday evening, the chance for snow showers continues with a low in the mid-20s. And Friday, that chance for snow showers will be late in the day with a high in the mid-30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 15 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 15 degrees as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the top of the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, 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 air. To you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Let's say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
freedom. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. you need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much business to tend to. Whew. We're going to have a breaking story on tomorrow about an elected official. An elected official. I had a... let's just say someone who works for the city of St. Louis in a very high position. Racism, racist statement. We have a macaca moment here. And we got to ask the question of how did Francis Slay respond to it. We're going to break that story tomorrow at 7 o'clock during Eye on the Lou. You don't want to miss that. No, you don't. And congratulations to all. Congratulations to all. We had over 1,200 people show up last night. I defy anybody in the city of St. Louis to point to a single event that has to do with a public hearing with 1 week's worth of notice. Name one where 1,200 people showed up. Do you hear me? Where 1,200 people showed up. Over 1,200 people. People didn't come because there was no place to park. Name me one. It hasn't been done in the history of the city of St. Louis. 1,200 people with 1 week's worth of notice. It hasn't happened. And they were there to say no. They were there to say no. To the nullification of our vote and to the state takeover. Oh, they were trying to set it up that there weren't going to be that many people there. 1,200 people showed up with 1 week's worth of notice. Oh, yeah. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Your cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Father, stop. Criticize your son. Mother, please. Leave your doors alone.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to tend to. Hmm. 1,200 people showed up last night to speak their opposition to the state takeover. And that was a huge thing. That was a huge thing. And it can't stop there. It cannot stop there. And this state board of education is supposed to be deciding its fate, or at least supposed to be taking it up, or at least supposed to be having a conversation about it. On February 15th, I suggest that you clear your calendars for February 15th and plan on going up to Jefferson City to take a stand. It's not done. I feel you out there. It's not done. I feel your energy, your passion, and you know what's at stake. And it's not done. Over 1,200 people showed up. That's astounding. That is astounding. And it's real. If the Post-Dispatch was reporting 1,200 people, how many think people were there? How many people you think were there? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. And there's a breaking story here. Yesterday, a top aide to Speaker Nancy Pelosi was named the clerk of the United States House of Congress. Why am I even reporting on this story? Because this is the first time a person of African descent has held this position ever. This is a position that dates back to 1789. It is one of the most powerful administrative positions in Congress. It oversees record keeping, receiving messages from the President and the Senate, and certifying the passage of bills and resolutions. The clerk's office, the clerk has an office in a prime location on the first floor of the Capitol, opposite the House Majority Leader's suite. She's the 35th clerk. Do you hear me? Lorraine Miller is the first African in the history of this country, at first officer, first time an African person of African descent has even been an officer in the House. And before she joined Pelosi's staff in 2002, she was a top lobbyist for the American Federation of Teachers. She worked in the Clinton administration and the White House Legislative Affairs Office. She was executive director of the White House Community Empowerment Board. She was at the Federal Communications Commission, Federal Trade Commission. She was an aide to Jim Wright, Tom Foley, and John Lewis. She was a teacher for 10 years before coming to Washington. And I would bet every nickel that I have, every nickel that I will ever have, and every nickel that any of my children will ever have, that woman went to public schools. That she went to public schools. This is huge. She is the clerk of the House. The clerk of the House. And she was a school teacher for 10 years. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's nice. That's nice. 1-877-920-WGNU. Pass it on, because I know you've never heard that anyplace else. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Hillary Clinton is so busy, speaking of another woman in Washington, D.C., Hillary Clinton is so busy trying to define her stance on the Iraq war that she's, it's kind of like, I think what's happening to Hillary Clinton is kind of what's happening to John McCain. John McCain has lost points in the polls because of his unwavering support of this of continuing this war in Iraq. That he's not doesn't have an end date for this. That he is a yes man to George Bush's request to continue this war in Iraq. And so John McCain finds himself in the position of, God, the more I fight for this war, the more my polls are going down, because people have not stopped paying attention. The people's position about this war, people's opposition to this war, didn't change after candidates were elected into office, that majorities were overturned. People still don't like this war and are still judging you on this war. It's kind of like what happened to the school thing last night. People thought that our attention was no longer on the schools, that we had given up, that the fight is too hard, that we're not, that they underestimate what real feelings are, what real passions are, and what real issues are. We understand the importance of schools. Our passion cannot be diminished and our actions will not be deterred. We understand the wrongness of this war. Our passion will not be diminished and our actions will not be deterred. Just because we got to vote out the Republican majority in the House and in the Senate doesn't mean that, okay, our work here is done and people have walked away from this war. No, this war continues. Opposition to this war continues to galvanize and move and make it clear for American citizens who their elective representatives are and what their positions are. Hillary Clinton is just like John McCain right now, because John McCain is losing points because of this war, and Hillary Clinton is doing the same thing. The difference between John McCain and Hillary Clinton is Hillary Clinton has calculated that she has room to start to move off of her position of the war, the war, the war at all costs. That's the difference. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Now, don't kid yourself about John McCain. He's Bush 3. I don't like the guy at all. But, you know, it's time that we stop this nonsense between, you're going to trade it back to the Clintons now? You had Bush and then Clinton and then Bush. And I mean, this is ridiculous. Who says we want these people, any of them?
Well, they've taken polls. Hillary Clinton, she knows that there's an opportunity for her, because George Bush is not, for the first time in I don't know how many decades, we have no vice president that's planning to run, and a president that cannot run because of term limits. So if the field is wide open, why wouldn't Hillary think that there's room for her?
Yeah, we're going to have to get away from these two families, though, and anybody that's too well associated with them. I don't know who would make a good president any more than anybody else. I've met David Kucinich a couple times. I don't think he's got a snowball hell, snowball in the hell.
Well, however that goes, a snowball
whatever.
And Hades. Okay, we got it. We got it. However that goes.
Well, yeah, I met the guy at the Ethical Society, and I sort of like what, but you know how all politicians are. They say one thing and then they vote something else.
Well, with respect to Dennis Kucinich, I don't think you can say that again about him. Dennis Kucinich has been very consistent in his opposition to the war, has been very consistent on his issues with respect to social justice issues. He's been very consistent. He's not one of those people that you really, that, like, for instance, like a Harold Ford.
Right.
He says one thing, or he articulates one thing, and he says that he says one thing and then he votes another way. And I think that and other people that try to hide their record from you, I'm going to say this, but don't look at my voting record because it sure doesn't say that.
I'd like to vote for the guy, but he doesn't, you know, the rest of the country is looking for star quality, you know, somebody that looks like a Hollywood person.
But that, again, that don't let the media tell you what you're looking for.
That's right. I'm looking for somebody that's got a pretty good head on their shoulder and is, you know, not radical, and I just
don't. Don't you think we need a couple of some radical people?
Well, in a certain direction, I would definitely not vote for Hillary, and not because she's a woman. I would vote for a woman, but not her.
All right, now thanks for your call.
I mean, I think if they want to lose the election, go ahead and hell, if I was a Republican, I'd be donating money to Hillary's campaign.
Trust me, they are. Trust me, they
are. Have a good week.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. Yes, indeed. We have much business to tend to. Stay with me.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy. Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy
of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the automatic watch to the award-winning wake-up calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks automatic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Automatic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Real life, on the cutting edge, it's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Si vas al baile, baila conmigo. Si vas al carnaval, quiero ir contigo. Si vas a donde quiera, no me quedo atrás, porque quiero amarte más y más.
Oh, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Hello?
Yes, Liz. In South Dakota, the news is talking about the governor up there is getting a really, really short list of conservative Republicans to put in the senator's slot who's been ill, which, of course, then would sway the whole power of the Senate back to where it belongs, to the Republicans. Do you think he should have to appoint a Democrat, or do you think it's okay that he appoint a Republican?
But before I address that, you don't think that's a bit morbid? He's not dead. He's not.
Oh, no,
he's not even
capable.
He's not dying. And
everyone hopes for his. You know.
No, that doesn't sound like much hope when you're out there planning a party to get rid of
it.
Well, so what? I mean, the fact of the matter is that the rules in the Senate say you all had a 150-year-old man who didn't know his up from his down sitting in the United States. It seemed like 150, Gary.
Oh, it seemed like.
Yeah.
That's all your talk.
Yeah, no, it's real talk. It's real talk. But it seemed like 150. Strom Thurmond seemed like he was. No, I take that back. Not 150, 200 years old and dead.
Oh, okay.
It seemed like he was 200 years old and dead. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know where he was. He was wheeled around and everywhere on the United States Senate floor, and now you all are saying that this guy shouldn't be in office because, well, neither could Strom.
Jerry, he raised his feeble old hand up.
No, he didn't. A lot of votes he did not. He was unable to do that. The fact of the matter is, Gary, is that the problem with the Republican Party and people who think like you is that you want the rules changed a certain way when it's in your favor.
And the
example that I just gave you was Strom Thurmond. You didn't care whether he knew up from down. You didn't care whether he could complete a sentence. You didn't care. And if he could vote, good God, what on earth was he voting for if he didn't know his name? Everybody knew that he didn't know that. But now that you all see that you think that you might have an opening, you're planning to, or you're articulating something that you didn't articulate when Strom Thurmond was up there. And that's a problem. And that's a problem with you all.
He would come there. He could talk. He could vote.
Then you weren't following his career, Gary. You weren't following his career for the last 10, 15 years.
Was
20
he there?
Years, 20 years. Sometimes he was. Sometimes he wasn't, Gary.
Well, Mr. Johnson, bless his heart, can't even make it there to vote. So he,
How long has he been gone, Gary?
It's been 2 months.
And you're saying that it is unreasonable for American people to allow for a man to convalesce and get better so that he can have his job? So you would get rid of
him? They're not saying he's going to get better enough to come back.
What articles are you reading, Gary? What articles are you reading? I'm sorry, you're reading the Washington Times. I don't fault you for that.
I'm not.
You're reading the Reverend Moon's newspaper. I understand why you're snowed, sweetie. I understand. But isn't that the typical compassionate conservative that we hear? Poor guy has a medical condition that incapacitates him. Gets into a coma, he pulls himself out, he's on the road to recovery, and you have these Republicans saying, die, because we got somebody planning for that seat so we can get our majority back, die. Compassionate conservatives. That's why you lost the election, that's why you lost the House, because of stuff like that. Maurice.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Happy New Year.
Happy 007 to you.
You know it. I never call your show, with, you know, half-cocked with half information, you know, or try not to call anyway. But the other day, actually yesterday, while I was at work, one of my coworkers, non-African-American, just stopped by my desk and we were just chatting and he mentioned the issue with the St. Louis School Board.
Mm-hmm.
This person is not from the city. He lives far outside the city, actually, and brought the issue and was asking me how I feel about it, you know, and I told him, I felt that, you know, I don't think that, you know, they're going to take it over and that, you know, the citizens are going to come out and make, you know, be heard, what have you. And he's like, well, you know what, he said, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference, so why would you say that? He's like, well, you know, I was up Jefferson City, he has some type of role within his school district. And, like, I was in Jefferson City, and I was talking to some different members of the SU, what have you, and, you know, I don't make a difference. It's pretty much just a formality. I was like, oh, really? You know, I couldn't get any particulars from this person for his names or what have you. You know, but I just thought it was real interesting that, you know, one, that he picked me out, and two, that, you know, he didn't even make that type of comment.
Well, I think that a lot of people felt that it was a formality. If you read the St. Louis Post-Dispatch back a few months ago, they were saying that it would be done in January that the takeover would be done. The prediction of the takeover has been out there for a while, but what happened in January? They didn't do it. They were unable to do it. Sure, there are people on DESE that want to take over. There are members of DESE that Matt Blunt, Baby Boy Blunt, has appointed that are opposed to job creation programs in high schools. They're opposed to scholarship programs in high school. They're opposed to it. Those are the types of people that Baby Boy Blunt has appointed to DESE. So the fact that this individual could have talked to a member of DESE who said it was a foregone conclusion, I don't doubt that. But the reality is that if it was a foregone conclusion, it would have been done in January. It is not. It has not. And it is not going to happen.
That's a very good point. I don't think it's going to happen. You know, like I said, it showed a lot last night with the turnout. That showed a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it caught a lot of people off guard.
Yes, it did. They don't underestimate our people now. People love our children and love public education.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, now.
You have a good day.
Take care of yourself, Maurice. 1-877-920-WGNU. Rob.
Hi, Liz. It's me again.
Yes.
I just got a comment for the, I think his name was Gary, the caller before last. It was all about the Republicans and this Strom, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I know exactly who you're talking about. And,
so did he.
I'm kind of curious why the Republicans, if they're truly about this country, why aren't they jumping on this Ron Paul thing? He's probably the only Republican I've ever known that I would actually vote for. And if you don't know anything about him, could you sometime look him up and maybe do a five-minute rundown? Maybe there's things hidden that I don't know about.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul, congressman out of Texas. He was a libertarian for a long time, but we all know that you can't go very far with that. He's been in Congress for 27 years. He's, as far as I can tell, and I've researched quite a bit on him, he says something and he sticks with it. He's a constitutionalist to the end. He was against the war. And if I was just a listener right now, this would be the first time I'd ever heard of even the name on the radio.
All right. I will definitely look into that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. The reality of the political world that we live in right now is that the Republicans want control back. They want their toys back. They want their stuff back. And the fact that they even think of it as their stuff underscores the problem in having a two-party system. I, for one, believe that there should be, just like in other countries, there are all kinds of parties out there. We should have more than two political parties. Because then we could really get some clarity and some honesty in what people's positions are. And we shouldn't have these fake debates where the candidates have to get the questions beforehand. I think that every candidate should not get any question beforehand. I think it's fair to say, okay, we're going to focus on Iraq and we're going to focus on health care. Let me bone up on that. But other than that, no. No, you shouldn't get questions beforehand. Having said that there should be more than two parties, this election is going to be a very interesting, or this primary season of Republicans and Democrats. I mean, think of who's on the Republican side. This adulterous, shameless adulteress, shameless protector of people that abuse other people, a liar, and a man with a huge temper, Rudy Giuliani. That's one of you, that's what you got? You have John McCain, who is as dishonest as the day is long. Why is he dishonest? Well, on Monday he says, I don't support the Confederate flag as a symbol of racism. And then 2 days later, no, I'm cool with the Confederate flag. Jerry Falwell is a agent of intolerance. 3 days later, he's giving a speech at Jerry Falwell's school saying, no, he's not. The man is dishonest and calculating. So you got your liars, you got your calculators, you got your adulterers, you got your abusers, and then you have the candidates on the Republican side that hate brown people. You all must be so proud. You must be so proud. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
My comment is that coming back to the Scooter trial in D.C., Scooter Libby's trial, with the situation about the decider, and yesterday with the senators challenging the decider, do you think it can become a situation where it could be akin to like Marlboro v. Madison, whereas the Supreme Court would have to make a decision on who can really be determining about war, Congress or the executive branch, when clearly in the Constitution it states that it's the congressional branch?
I think that it probably will come down to that. Feingold, one of the United States Senators, Feingold from Wisconsin,
Great.
Is planning on introducing a piece of legislation that
Great.
Says just that, that it is Congress that has the authority to do this, and that
Great.
Congress should take away any authority of, mm-hmm. of or any opportunity of George W. Bush to get us into war with Iraq, I mean with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a piece of legislation that he's supposed to introduce next week
mm-hmm.
that's going to get us to that place.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and if, you know, hypothetically, if it does get to the Supreme Court with the amount of the, quote, strict constructionalist on the Supreme Court, then the executive branch would probably lose.
It's going to be very interesting to see how far these appointees are willing to go.
Thank you.
All
have
right,
a great
thanks
day, kid.
For your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Get to me. To the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, treadmills, tools, tractors, and a great location and awesome customer service. Look, I know you got things to buy. I know that you have things that you want in your home. Let's get them at Sears right here in the city of St. Louis. Sears, Union and Natural Bridge. When you get your shop on, tell them I told you to.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. Learn how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. That's Design 411 at noon, Wednesdays on AM 920 WGNU.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Don't know how you met me, you don't know why. You can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You won't find nobody like me. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Don't forget, I'm excited. A couple of shows that I'm excited about. One tomorrow where we're going to be breaking the story about an amazing act of an amazing, amazing racist act that took place in the city of St. Louis and Francis Slay's response to it. We'll be talking about that tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour with Eye on the Lou. We're also going to be talking on Friday. I have an author to come on and talk about the two black coaches that will be playing in the Super Bowl this weekend. Oh, yeah. Did you think I was going to pass without let the Super Bowl come and go without talking about that? Oh, yeah, we're going to be talking about both of those coaches and what the NFL's history is with respect to black coaches, black players, and all of that stuff. My guest will be David Zirin, author of Say My Name, or What's My Name, a book about Muhammad Ali. You need to be here for that, and that's going to be at 8 o'clock on Friday. Oh, yeah, we have a lot of good stuff coming at you. And then do not forget that we have on Friday a brand new show that's starting at 9 o'clock, Wellness 101 with Dr. Rosa Kincaid. And we're going to get you to the healthy way of being, the holistic, healthy way of being on Friday at 9 o'clock, Wellness 101. That's happening on the wake-up call, too. Oh, my goodness, so many good things, so many exciting things happening on the wake-up call, and you don't want to miss any of it. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. I think that this election is going to be, and this election I'm talking about is going to be the election of 2008. It's going to be unlike anything that we've ever seen. I really do. Now, let me put it this way. It has the potential of being unlike anything that we've ever seen. We're going to have candidates that are going to be forced by us. Never say that it doesn't make a difference what you do, what you say, where you go to push your issues. Never say it doesn't make a difference. Because it is the opposition to the war that has forced these elected officials, many of these elected officials, to change their game. Some have changed it a lot. Some have changed it a little bit. But change they have. Hillary Clinton is certainly saying something about the war that she certainly wasn't saying a few years ago. John Edwards is saying something different about the war. Republicans are saying different things about the war. And that's because of what you did. Your actions. Your articulations. Your participations. All of that. You did that. So with respect to what's happening here locally in your schools, you know that you can change this. And that you already have. Over 1,200 people showed up at Harris Stowe in bitter cold, some of the coldest weather of this season, couldn't find a place to park. There were people on canes. There were people in wheelchairs. There were children there. There were seniors there. There were elected officials there. I have to giggle because I saw a whole lot of elected officials coming in to the Harris Stowe right around 8:30 or so. Because they wanted to be there. They wanted to be there. You need it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What you do changes the world. And last night is proof of that. One little baby from McKinley. Oh, he was adorable. He said, you know, if you have two rotten apples on the tree, you don't cut the tree down, you pick the rotten apples. He was right in the face of Ron Jackson and Veronica O'Brien. If you have a couple of rotten apples, you don't cut the tree down, you pluck the rotten apples. I don't know that that could be said any better. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, hi, Miss Brown.
How are you?
Fine. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, it seems to me that President Bush and Condoleezza Rice are trying to make this war on terrorism as a war against Islam.
A war against Muslims?
Yeah.
A war against Muslims?
Yeah, because today they were reporting that...
Are you talking about South Africa?
Yeah.
Talk to us. Talk to us about it. It's a heck of a story. An outrageous story. Go ahead, tell it.
Yeah, they were talking about they had a 9-year-old on a no-fly list.
They had a 9-year-old boy who was the son of a man. His father has flown in and out of America dozens of times. This 9-year-old boy was part of a school, and they live in South Africa. The Muslim population in South Africa is about 3%. But it's hundreds of years old of a history of living in South Africa, right?
Yes.
So this family, the son, the 9-year-old, was part of a class that was flying to America to talk to other kids about how we get along in this global world that we live in. That baby was on the no-fly list. And for what reason? Because he's a Muslim. And the class canceled their trip.
Yeah, that was a good part of it, though. But what I'm saying is that it's like that. Just antagonizing everybody around
yes,
the world.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yes, it is. It is outrageous. You ask America, what are the reasons why my name is on the no-fly list? When they tell you, when you go back and they question you, they say, "Are you? Do you make bombs? Do you know the Quran by heart? You know, do you hate America? Why are you asking me these questions? It because I'm Muslim?" It's outrageous. It is our country. This government is outrageous. And the world is taking note of that.
Yeah. Because that thing of about in Somalia, that when they push, they bomb the livestock of Muslim people there in Somalia. It's like they are not even accountable for it, you know.
The Islam...
Nobody's even asking them questions about what did they do, what...
But you know why? But you know why? Because of where too many Americans have been whipped up to, all they had to say with respect to Somalia was it was being run by the Islamic court. And it was working. It had the support of all of the citizens. Just because it had the name Islamic doesn't make it wrong. And America went in there, this government went in there, tore up the Islamic court in order to bring instability to Somalia, in order to get at the oil that's at the Horn of Africa. That's what this was about. And if they were so concerned about government being run illegitimately, then why did they hold the hand of the dictator from Ethiopia to go into Somalia to blow it up?
That guy from Ethiopia, he have locked up with the democratic elected president.
Yes, he has. He's a dictator. He's a dictator. But America took the dictator's army, brought him into Somalia to destroy the Islamic court that was working in Somalia and brought stability to Somalia. So it's not about they don't care, they care about democracy, because you wouldn't have been holding the hand of a dictator to go get somebody else.
No. And that thing with Somali oil, one professor told us a long time ago, even before 9/11, that Somalia, that means the oil in Somalia is in the same, like, lake with the oil that was flown in Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
So for a long time, Saudi Arabia had been preventing Somalia from drilling the oil.
Mm.
So most of it, this thing is like, it's too much about money and too much about hate towards people of Islam.
Fact. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call. Take care now.
Thank you.
You want a wake-up call?
Good morning, number one fabulous Liz Brown.
Mr. Davis, good morning.
Yes, I just wanted to say what a fantastic meeting last night.
What is something?
Oh, yes.
What
and
is
the
something?
Way the people got up there and spoke and everything, they really let them know that we do not want people in Jefferson City running the public schools.
That's fact.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job last night.
It was fabulous, fabulous.
And the crowd was there
Over 1,200. Very sincere. Absolutely. And very clear, very articulate, and very straightforward. Whether they were fourth graders, third graders, 12th graders, seniors, everybody in between, everybody was clear-eyed and understood.
Yes.
All right.
We really put something on their minds.
Fact.
All right. They know what we want.
That's fact.
All right then, Liz.
Thank you so much,
okay,
Mr. Davis.
Now.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Thank you for listening, and stay strong.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low
mate. I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many